aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Happy Monday, everybody.
What is so happy about it?
Well, I'm trying to be positive and optimistic. I know that's not easy for you.
The sun rose this morning still, Ro.
Thank you, Kev.
We've got that going
up
for us.
It's going to set tonight. And,
I hear it's going to rise
again.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's true. I'm not sure. Bob Baer is going to join us a little later. Wants us to be prepared for war. I don't want to be prepared for war. I have nothing to wear.
For war?
For war.
Concern. What are you talking about?
Your camouflage is at the dry
cleaner?
Why
was that the concern?
Yeah. What?
I don't even know. I mean, all of my war ascots are at the dry cleaner.
Your camo
my blue blazer is just not prepared for it. I don't know what to do.
Oh gosh.
Oh
it
man.
It's troubling what's happening though in
yeah,
Korea.
The world is a little sideways here. So just a little sideways. I'm not sure what to make of it. But we'll try to get it all worked out. Mr. Tom Skilling's going to join us. That's very exciting.
It's good to hear his voice.
We haven't had him join the show. He's a regular on this program, a daily contributor to the program. We haven't had him in almost, a month now.
Seems impossible, but it's true. We missed him.
Right, because we had we were off for a couple days, and he went to Alaska. He does that thing where he watches the sun rotate around the Arctic Circle.
I hope he'll tell us about his time in Alaska.
Yeah, that's always fun. He has a sun rotation party. We never get invited to it.
Why doesn't he ever have bear stories? I want bear stories.
Maybe you will have one now.
He's seen bears, I'm sure.
All you got to do is get the Weather Channel app. I hate to do something competitive to Tom. That once a day, there's a video of a bear.
Is there?
On the Weather Channel app. Either like going into somebody's kitchen and having cookies or pounding on a window or sliding on a slip and slide. You've seen that one?
Dunking in their pool.
Right. A
couple of those out there.
Doing the backstroke in a pool. It's always fun. And you're like, oh, they're so cute.
I want to see one chasing Tom.
No.
That'd be a very short race, would be my guess.
No, but then he makes it to safety, of course.
Yeah.
Sure.
There's normally one throwing a lot of interceptions, too.
Oh, you know what would really be something? Is a race between me and a bear and Tom. and it would really
the
and the bear
wouldn't accept.
And the bear's gonna look at it and bear's gonna go,
like, come on.
I could eat either of them right now.
It was like,
why
just
bother?
Play dead is
why,
the same
right.
thing.
The bear right, we're both Tom and I are going to fall down and the bear is gonna go, all right, this is sad.
Or else you make your body really big, like you're supposed to do. Isn't that one of the things you're supposed to do when you see a bear? Like you stand up really tall on your hands.
Don't look it in the eye.
And yeah, don't look in the eye. As if that's
sorry,
something.
Sir. Don't run toward it. I don't think it's a good idea either. Come on, you someone. You know, I don't
no,
think that works.
Bad. That's bad. Very bad.
Well, but you should try it if it ever happens, Ro.
Thank you, Judy.
I bet Tom will have a bear story to tell us. He's probably encountered some real wildlife out in Alaska.
Some grizzlies.
I kind of feel like he was... making s'mores and enjoying the sun rotating around the
the North Pole.
Yeah,
just around
Not
and
really
around
bears.
And around.
Because
you can never close your eyes. I mean, it's never not light up there this time of year. Tomorrow, by the way, congratulations to us, the first day of summer.
Yay, that's great.
No,
I'm sorry,
are we
no?
For
that? Congratulations to us.
No.
That we get to enjoy it? Is that what you mean?
No, because that means that starting tomorrow, the days get short.
Oh,
wow.
Would you just see the summer half not over?
It's only mid-June. I mean, this is
all right.
The
and
beginning.
It just means you can start drinking a little bit earlier.
Huh?
Because it gets nighttime quicker.
Yeah, because the sun has really stayed in my way.
People.
That's why God invented rosé. All right. Well, we're going to start with Mr. Sapelsa. He's going to tell us what's coming up here locally. That story that was done at the top of the hour by Judy was, you know, that's crazy. 300. We're, you know, like everybody's talking about the murders are down in Chicago. No, they're not.
Mm-mm. Would you say on track with last year, Judy? Is that what you were reporting with the 300 number
yes.
through Father's Day? Crazy.
And Trump has just tweeted about the Navy sailors.
Mm.
He tweeted about everything but the Navy sailors in these intervening 2.5 days. But he has just tweeted about, too. We'll bring that to you as well. So we'll do all that. But first, Violetta Powdermedic has the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. All you have to do is go to ChicagoTribuneStore.com today.
It's the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mr. Mark Sapelsa is joining us from the WGN-TV newsroom and CLTV newsroom and the world's newsroom. The only news that comes out in the world that's accurate, that's not fake, is from your newsroom.
Look at that. I like that promo.
That's exactly what I said. All right. First of all, can I just ask you a question as a journalista?
Sure.
Today, the White House had a press conference where there was no audio and no video.
I saw that.
So we figure they're mimed it. They got a guy to go in there. Sean Spicer does that thing, puts on white gloves, and puts his hands out like he's being trapped behind a glass wall. This was an observation that was made by someone on CNN, and I happen to agree with it completely, which is, you know, we're this turned around, right? And this is always what happens. I mean, whoever's ox is being gored, but if this were turned around, and this were the Obama White House, not put in the middle of a very important debate about health care and all the rest of the stuff that's going on, not allowing for a press conference. Sean Spicer himself, when he was running the press shop for the Republican National Committee, would have been all over them.
Yep.
Sure.
Right? Rightfully
yep.
so.
Yes. I think so many things are occurring within this administration over time that I've heard beat reporters in Washington say it's hard to keep up, that a story that 5 years ago, 4 years ago, even 2 years ago would have been a lead for 3 days is now number 10 on the list today.
Right.
This would be one of those.
You forget about some of them because the new thing comes up that's so mind-boggling.
Yeah. It may be a strategy. It may also be disorganization on Trump administration's part. But, this is another example where this would be a three-day controversy over, you know, what is going on with the Obama, what is going on with the President Bush II, what is going on with George Herbert Walker Bush administration. At this point, you know, we come to expect the unexpected.
Well, you think about it, an off-camera, no audio gaggle with a bunch of broadcasters. You had some people, like one of the guys from CNN, showing pictures of his socks. Say,
yeah.
Here's the socks I bought over the weekend because I can't show you or tell you anything else.
What are the socks that I got for Father's Day.
Right.
But, yeah.
His little anchor
What's the
socks.
Point of it? Just cancel all press availability for the day.
That was.
That's less controversial.
Yeah. They're almost. Didn't they recommend? Didn't they say that that might have been a possibility for
the president?
For a while?
Said, "I need to handle these, and I'll be doing them."
Should the White House, which is it represents the people of the United States of America, this is the question that one has: should the White House, representing all of us here, be allowed to not speak, not tell us what's going on? Shouldn't there be that disclosure? Because when you stop and you think about other governments around the world, who else does that? Who else says, "Listen, this is what we're going to do. We'll let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. And until then, don't bother us."
Well, that's a dictatorship, right?
Mark, that is correct. That is a dictatorship. You got that right.
We could. It's possible that Roger Goodell might fine Trump for not speaking to the press. Isn't that what happens in the NFL if the coaches don't? Maybe we can go that route.
Do you think Roger Goodell is going to do that when he's best friends with the guy who owns the Patriots, who's also best friends with Donald Trump?
Nope.
No.
His quarterback also likes him, too? Yeah.
Okay. Not his wife, though. His wife's not a fan.
Right. That's a house divided, as we say
it
on
really
campus.
It really is. Really is.
Because I've seen a few of those homes.
Yeah.
I've been in a few of those homes. It really gets very ugly.
You ever go over to dinner at one of those homes?
It's really funny.
Did you see what happened?
I happen to have just recently been at a dinner with the James Carville and Mary Madeline very similar kind of thing. They both work in the business of politics, and they're on the opposite sides. And then they started discussing this. Uh-huh. I can't talk to him about that.
Is that how it went?
Right. And then the husband was like, I don't want to talk to you about it.
So nothing awkward about that, about being a dinner guest.
Yeah.
That's going on.
That was really great.
At that dinner, when they're both at the door seeing you off, you know, drive safely, thanks for coming. Are they still arguing is everything cool?
When the door slams on the other side.
Right.
You don't want to go back there like, I think I forgot my sunglasses.
Right.
Hello.
Hey. Listen
anybody
in.
Anybody home?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
it ain't pretty.
In related news this afternoon, Politico and a few other news organizations saying Sean Spicer is actively searching for his replacement and is already being, put into a strategy type of role, that they're going to be moving him out of that place.
Okay. So he's helping look for his replacement?
He is doing that. He's already interviewed a couple people, two people familiar.
It's very millennial, isn't it?
That is.
You know how these millennials are these days.
It's also very North Korean. Where they
look, I'm about to get shot. So
exactly,
you are maybe going to take over this job. Let me
right,
run through.
You hold on a second. Hold on. This is your phone number.
Is a missile going to land on the person who doesn't get the job?
It's not good. Man. It's very bad. That's a tough spot.
Yes, yeah. It is. Laura Ingraham, one of the people named.
Oh, my God.
That ought to be good.
Interviewed for this position.
And it will be a situation like, well, you don't have a right to know that. That's what you need. You want a talk show host. Who is as a Limbaugh? Why not Limbaugh? Or you know what, Hannity? If Hannity truly believes in Donald Trump, he should quit his job at Fox and go and take the job for $135,000 a year or whatever it pays.
He already is a spokesperson for Trump.
Kind of is. What about Bill O'Reilly?
He's got nothing going on. That's true.
He could do it.
This is the all spin zone. Oh man. All right, what's coming up on the WGN-TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10?
Well, using one of my producer's words, there is a penchant for using vehicles to drive into people to get your point across. We'll take a closer look at what happened last night in London. Also,
and then apparently an almost attempted similar incident in Paris earlier today as well, right?
Right, exactly right. And then there was also... There's a suburban case involving a chainsaw. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe an attempt, hopefully. But we'll delve into what happened here locally as well when you join us. By the way, if you don't like Mark Sapelsa News, you'll have to stay on CLTV and watch Row, because I'm doing the 4, the 5, the 6, the 9, and the 10, because Mr. Bradley's got the day off.
What? He just started that job.
I know.
How do you get a vacation like that?
You know,
must be nice.
I need his agent.
Exactly.
I want his agent.
No, you don't.
You know his agent.
I don't think.
But Tom Skilling's back, so we're happy about that too.
Yeah, Skilling's back too. Right. He had a nice long vacation.
My agent, after 20 years in the business, honey, baby, sweetheart, listen, darling, I was able to get you the day after Christmas off. You have to work everything else.
What?
But you're going to love it.
Right.
It's going to be great. Enjoy your day. I got this for you. I'm barely charging you for it.
Honey,
that
baby.
Right?
Right.
Bubby.
Honey, baby, sweetheart, Bubby.
Did she have like one of those cigarette holders holding the cigarette that goes on?
Like Joey Tribbiani's agent and friends?
Yeah.
She's kind of, she's, mine's a guy, but he's kind of the male version of that. Right. Hold on. I got to call you back. I've got a dancing monkey routine in the office right now. You've got to see these chimpanzees, Watusi.
You're hanging up on me for them? It's not
right. Wait, but I have an important thing. I wanted to, I got you half a day off in 2020.
On Tuesday.
Yeah, although I'd imagine you're kind of a high-maintenance client, Ro.
I am.
You said that.
My God, yeah. You can only imagine what that is like with me and him. There are times he's like, he picks up the phone on speakerphone, and I can hear the other people laughing.
Listen to this guy. Oh.
All right. Mark, we'll see you at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 on the WGN-TV News. But first, Judy Pilak standing by with the WGN Radio News in 2 minutes.
So the White House press secretary is getting to a point, Brooke, where he's just kind of useless. You know, if he can't come out and answer the questions and they're just not going to do this on camera or audio, why are we even having these briefings or these gaggles in the first place?
It's not a bad question.
It's a great question. Can't use audio, can't video anything, totally off camera.
Yeah.
That Jim Acosta is the one who took the pictures of his socks and put it out and said, I can't show you a picture of Sean, can't bring you any audio of anything happening here, so here are the new socks I got.
I am going to miss, because there's reporting that Sean Spicer is searching his own replacement.
Bloomberg has now picked up the story as well as Politico and several other political websites about how he's going to be moving into a more senior role focused on strategy and he's actively part of the Sean Spicer is actively part of the search for his replacement.
By the end of July, he and Ryan Priebus will return to the Republican National Committee.
You think?
That is my
end
prediction.
Of July.
End of July.
All right, let me write that one down.
Prediction? Please write that down. Sean Sullivan's joining us, national political reporter, Washington Post. Pretty unprecedented, right, for a White House to hold a briefing, but not allow any of it to be heard or seen.
Yeah, I mean, in general, the point of holding these press briefings is to give reporters and then the general public, through those reporters, questions, a chance to see and ask questions about, you know, what the White House is up to, what the president is thinking on a broad array of issues. And it's been pretty standard practice for, you know, the past many years, really, to have, you know, televised briefings regularly for reporters to ask questions of the White House spokesperson, you know, and we'll see where this goes from here, how normal this kind of thing becomes. But you're right, it is a departure from past precedent.
Well, I understand the point. I mean, just don't have the press briefing. I mean, what is the – and they weren't answering it, apparently not answering any questions about – he was asked, well, when is the president going to tell us if there are tapes? Because he keeps playing possum with that, if you will. It's the Midwest. We could say things like that. And he doesn't want to certainly betray his position. It's very easy to answer. Yes, there's a recording system. Yes, we have audio recordings of the president's meetings with everybody, including James Comey, or nobody, or whatever it happens to be. Or yes, we have it. No, we didn't use it. Or no, we really don't have it. And the president was just head faking. I mean, that would be fine. We'd all accept that at that point. Yeah. I mean, I just don't get it. He goes, well, it'll still be a few more days. Now, as I understand it, the House and the Senate intelligence committees have both asked for the investigating committees looking into all of this, have asked for those tapes by Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Whether or not they get them, I suppose we'll have to see. So they said maybe that's what he's talking about when he says a few days.
Yeah. OK. All right. And then the other big story here, Sean, I know this is just breaking as we're on the phone here together, but Otto Warmbier apparently has died. The American college student that was released from North Korean custody last week, flown to Cincinnati, his hometown, where basically doctors on Friday held a press conference to announce that he's, you know, effectively brain dead as a result of respiratory suppression at some point in the period of time he was being held. And it's a very sad story, but this does almost throw a challenge at the White House. What is going to be their response? Because I know they were taking credit for getting him back here, regardless of his condition. And certainly that is, you know, worthy of credit. But now that he's been returned here solely to die, because the Koreans certainly had to have known, North Koreans certainly had to have known his condition. You know, you wonder, will the White House have a response, or will the U.S. government have a response to that?
This is a big emerging test for the president at a time when he's facing so many other tests and so many other, you know, investigations surrounding his associates. So, you know, it really is a big and I think important question that the president is going to have to face, which is, you know, there are still going to be some very unanswered questions about what happened to him while he was in North Korea, why things happen this way, and what you're right, what the response will be. And, you know, we haven't really seen the White House articulate a clear strategy yet about policy toward North Korea. You know, you've seen bits and pieces over the last few months and in the campaign where Trump sort of seems to hint that, you know, he might be able to open some sort of dialogue up with the North Koreans. At other times, they take a really, really hard line. This is a country we don't have official diplomatic relationships with. So how is the president, how is this White House going to investigate this matter further, try to get more details? Because I think a lot of Americans are going to read the story and, you know, want a lot of answers. Why did this happen? Why something tragic like this happen? And the White House is going to have to, you know, at some point address those questions. But the question is how, and as I said, you know, we don't know what Trump's approach to North Korea is, what his general strategy is yet. So this really kind of has to accelerate that a little bit. We'll have to see how he ends up wanting to deal with North Korea at a time when, you know, a big international episode like this is happening.
Sean, let me bring you back here domestically. Right now, the Republican senators are trying to get a health care response bill ready in response to the House bill that has already been passed out. And, you know, famously now, the president has reportedly gone to the Republicans and said, "But you know, make it a little nicer, if you will, because the other one was too mean." But they're working on it very much in secret. And that's got its own, it seems like everything's got to be a big secret in D.C. because they don't want to necessarily have a lot of pesky questions being asked or impertinent questions being asked while they're working these issues out. And to me, the part that is kind of alarming is that you've got Republicans who aren't even taking part in this, who are like, well, we just got to wait for these other, they have like a core group of Republican senators who seem to be working this out. And there seems to be a lot of disagreement about that. And now, while this is happening, Democrats are about to take to the floor of the Senate and have their own floor, hold the floor event tonight, where they're going to be protesting. I mean, this is, the theatrics of this are disturbing for people who are just wondering if they're going to be able to go back to their doctor.
Yeah, so the Republicans are really using a secretive process to, or at least a very tightly controlled process, to write this bill. It's basically Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, and a handful of senior GOP aides who are actually physically writing the bill. Now, McConnell is consulting Republican senators. They have several meetings a week before the larger group where they discuss health care, where they toss ideas out. But when we've talked to a lot of Republican senators, and again, not Democrats, Republican senators in the last few days, many of them are left kind of wondering what is going to end up in this bill, how it's ultimately going to look. So a lot of members of, you know, McConnell's own caucus are still kind of left in the dark about what's going on. And I think some senators are troubled by the process. Some senators wonder, can we actually get this thing done by the July 4th recess, which is the ambitious deadline that Republican leadership has kind of set for itself. And you're right, on the Democratic side, you know, we're going to see four speeches tonight, probably late into the evening, from a lot of Democratic senators protesting this bill, protesting the secrecy, but also protesting the substance, the ideas that Republicans are floating around. The Democrats are going to say, this is bad for the American people, this is bad for health care, this is going to result in coverage losses. And that's the argument they're going to be making. But you know, it's sort of all they can do at this point, because if McConnell can round up 50 votes, if he can get 50 out of 52 Republicans to vote for this, there's basically nothing the Democrats can do to stop this. They can't put off this vote. They can't really filibuster it with any, you know, force. This is going to happen. And so what we're seeing from the Democrats is basically a symbolic protest. But if McConnell can't get enough votes, if he can't get enough members of his own caucus to support this thing, then it's going to crumble under its own weight, really, and it's not going to need any, you know, Democratic protest or interference. It'll be Republican disagreement that collapses the whole thing. So there's still a lot of moving parts. We don't know whether we're actually going to see a vote yet before the July 4th recess. But again, McConnell's ambition is to have this bill on the floor next week.
And one of the moving parts, as you put it, Republicans don't seem to be on the same page, or certainly don't have the support for this health care yet, is that Medicaid expansion, that it's you know, moving it from 3 to 7 years, and that they're upset that it would have ended some of those, that expansion in 2020, and that's not sitting well with constituents back home, who, you know, would maybe vote for them, their core voters. So they seem like they're going back to the drawing board about that. Have you heard anything that has come out so far? I know there are some leaks about what they're considering in terms of what Senate Republicans are looking at.
Well, here's what we know, and you're right. The Medicaid component of this debate, when I talk to Republican senators, Republican aides, most of them say this is the most contentious issue. This is the issue where it's been hardest to build consensus. Mitch McConnell, behind closed doors, has proposed to Republican senators a 3-year phase out of Medicaid expansion that occurred under the law known as Obamacare. That is a more gradual phase out than the House bill, which effectively rolls the program back in 2020. But you have Republicans from states that expanded Medicaid where people have gotten coverage under the expansion. And I'm talking about states like Ohio, West Virginia, Nevada. These Republicans are pushing for an even more gradual phase out. They're saying, hold on a second, don't just cut this thing off in 2023. We want a 7-year phase out. We want to phase this out in 2027. We want to have a more gradual timeline to figure out how to get some of these people coverage so that they don't lose it. And we haven't seen a lot of give on either side. I mean, I think these Republicans from these states are pretty firm that they don't want to accept something less than 7 years. But on the other side, you have Mitch McConnell saying, look, 3 years is what I'm offering. And then you have some conservatives even who, you know, are not even sympathetic to a 3-year timeline. They, you know, in their eyes want to cut back spending on this program even more dramatically than some of the ideas that we've seen. So there's a lot of negotiation that I think is still happening, but there's no resolution. And if there was, I think we would see a number, a timeline that senators would be willing to embrace publicly. And the fact that they're not, I think, tells us that they're still negotiating this. Each side is still trying to get what it thinks is the best possible deal it can get.
Because you do have, I think 8 Republican senators up for re-election in 2018. And 7, actually, up for re-election. You do have, and if people start to, and obviously everybody in the House is up for re-election in 2018. So if all of a sudden you start to see the effects start to hit, or at least the fear of the effects start to hit, mm-hmm. in terms of the change of health care. You know, a lot of Americans are like, oh, I don't like Obamacare, because they probably didn't like the branding of it, or they watched a lot of press about it that they didn't like. Or it didn't affect them at all, and they just didn't like other people getting something that they were paying for.
I think some people feel slighted by it. They didn't get the coverage they wanted based on it. I mean, there are plenty of examples of that, too.
Oh, there's no question. But now they're going to get less coverage than they wanted. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that – because if that was really – they have to – Republicans have to shoot at a base here of people who aren't going to be affected by this, because those who are going to be affected by it are going to be affected by it appears fairly significantly if what we're hearing out of these secret meetings is correct. You know, at least just take the House bill as we know it. It's a pretty steep decline in access. Mm-hmm. So
definitely doesn't seem popular.
So we'll just have to see. All right, Sean, thank you very much. Sean Sullivan from the Washington Post. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Sean.
Sure.
All right. Violetta Potomatic from the WGN Traffic Department. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up on the program, Tom Skilling joins us.
His triumphant return to the program. We can ask him about Alaska and all the time he spent there. I've missed Tom.
I miss that guy.
I miss him,
miss
too.
Miss him so much.
Miss you, man. It's okay to say, isn't it?
And then Bob Baer is going to join us and tell us if World War III is about to break out.
Oh, my gosh.
I kind of miss Bob Baer. I don't really know, but I kind of miss him still.
He's not as Mormon fuzzy as Tom Skilling. Bob Baer.
Kevin was gone for one day.
I miss everyone.
Yeah, and Sammy Panionovich is filling in for him. And Sammy literally was running an illegal lottery out of your office. I've never seen
stuff going down.
More people going in and out of the sports office.
There's some conversations. Throwing a party up here.
He does. He's got, when he arrives on a scene somewhere, mm-hmm. it turns into all kinds of, you know, there's guys. Like, I tried to walk into the sports office, and there's guys literally in suits go, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to see, I was just going to go. He doesn't need to see you right now. Turn around.
I know. I'm like, what kind of transaction is going on over there?
I don't understand.
Everyone shuts up when I came around. It didn't. There was something funny going on, Kev. Yeah.
Classic funny business in the sports office.
Yeah. That's.
We missed you, Kev.
How many times have you seen it, Kev?
100 times. 100 times.
Yeah. Well,
that's where all the fun always takes place, right? Sports office.
That's right.
Yeah. I think it's all in the traffic office.
It was an entourage in and out.
It was weird, man.
Talk about traffic. There was traffic nonstop coming out the store.
Guys coming in.
I was a little bit afraid.
There was some cash was being exchanged. I don't know. There was a lot going on.
A lot of numbers being talked about.
I heard a lot of corks being popped, too. I'm just saying.
Oh, uh-oh. I didn't see that.
No. It's very strange. All right. Judy Pilex News coming your way in 2 minutes. All right. Mr. Tom Skilling is joining us for the first time.
You guys remember me?
Such a long time.
We've missed you so much.
Oh, it's nice to be back. Thanks, guys. It's nice to get away, but it's awfully nice to get back again, too. And it was interesting. I went up to Alaska, and I had a couple little dizzy or, shortness of breath spells, so I thought I'd get that looked at. And they tell me it's all right, you know. Of course, they didn't point any of the testing equipment at my head, so that's good. You know? They said it might break the machinery, you know. So
yeah, I've had moments like that too, where I'm in, you know, the doctor's office getting tested for something,
yeah,
and then the nurse comes and goes, "Baby child, let me just tell you something. You crazy. Doctor won't tell you this, but you're crazy."
Oh,
and I'll tell you. They know, those nurses.
Yeah.
You know, I told them when I walked in here today, I said, I've spent so much time in the nuclear medicine wing that I'm glowing in the dark now. You know, you don't even have to turn on the lights.
But everything is well.
Oh, yeah.
You're all good.
Yeah,
you're
it's
right.
Going well. You know, it puts your mind at ease when you go through that.
So you had dizziness or shortness of breath when you were in Alaska?
No, you know what? I got back, and I was all ready to come to work Wednesday, and I was sitting around Tuesday, and I thought, and I awakened in the morning, and I thought, you know, I just don't feel right. And but I thought, you know, it'll pass. And as the day went on, I thought, you know, before I get too deeply back into work again, let's get this all checked out and end this. I've gotten to the point that I just want an answer to stuff. Mm-hmm. It was, the answers were good.
Okay.
And
good.
The staff was wonderful that worked on me. So that's good.
It just when you're in that situation, you have such appreciation, that renewed appreciation for the nurses and the medical teams and all of that.
They're wonderful.
I
was down at Northwestern Memorial, and what a great group! What a great group they have there. And it's nice to see, having returned, that nothing has changed. Ro, you're still being treated with a level of disrespect, mm-hmm. You know. And it just
I was hoping maybe in the last month, Tom, things would change.
It would
they
change.
Haven't.
No,
yeah, no.
But it makes you feel right at home, doesn't
it? Yeah,
Anna is always nice, though. That's
she's very sweet, but she looks at me crazy too.
I do. Oh,
and they basically all do. And all I want to do is I get hysterical every night. I go to sleep, you know, reading stories from, you know, about things that are happening. And I wake up in the morning reading stories and drive myself nuts and talk about shortness of breath. Oh, my God.
Tell me.
You'd have to read a book or two in order to get access to things that kind of scared you. But now you just sort of read the headlines of what's going on in the world.
Wow.
And enough to be scary.
It just ain't pretty.
It's sad, isn't it, to hear that young man back from Korea passed away. I you know, he was in terrible shape when he came back. Wouldn't you love to know what was done to him? To do that, you know, it's just it's really sad.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And it does now. The White House has asked for a response to it.
Yeah.
Within the last few minutes, and they're not yet given it, but we'll see. They will have to, you know, articulate a response.
Yeah.
Right. The family has just said, you know, unfortunately, after the torturous situation our son received, that he has passed away.
Can you imagine being in their shoes? I mean, wondering what their son went through before,
because he couldn't talk to them on his return.
I know.
I mean, they would have no idea. It's heartbreaking on every level. When you see that video of him pleading for his freedom and his safety in front of that North Korean court, it's just astounding when you think what his penalty was for basically moving a political sign.
It was probably, you know, a curiosity, and he thought it would be interesting for, you know, somebody to see. And they caught him, and then, you know, that turned into 15 years hard labor. It's strange.
It's a very, 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 very bad place there.
Hey, some interesting things going on. We've got some thunderstorms roaming our area, and I think we've got Tropical Storm Cindy on the way down in the Gulf of Mexico. It's not named yet.
That's fairly early in the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it is early. We had one way out in the Atlantic, Arlene, earlier. And last year, we had one in the Canary Islands that had shown up in January, and another one in May. We were just looking. So recent years have seen these little systems spin up early. But typically, you know, June 1 is the beginning of the hurricane season. And this thing has prompted tropical storm warnings along the Gulf Coast. There's another one that's hugging the coast of Venezuela, which is just what the folks down there need, too. And that's Brett. That's been named already. The one in the Gulf hasn't been named, but they've issued tropical storm warnings for parts of Louisiana.
So would that indicate to you that it's going to be a particularly busy season?
Well, you know,
starting this early?
The water temperatures are running warm. And
that's fuel.
The expectation has been that, you know, absent an El Nino and a La Nina, there may be an El Nino that's trying to develop later on. That tends to thwart tropical cyclone development in the Atlantic Basin, but it hasn't developed yet, and it's not supposed to have a big effect on this season, at least as it stands now. So they've been predicting more hurricanes than usual, and more named storms than usual. So, yeah, I think it may be an indication that we're off to an interesting start, or kind of an accelerated
That's all we need, right?
It's been 12 years, though, you know, Rose, since a tropical cyclone, a major hurricane has landfalled in the United States. So we've been very lucky. They've been occurring, but they've been staying
Katrina
out in the ocean.
Being that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Most memorable.
Yeah. Yep.
But you're saying they would start feeling the effects in the Gulf when?
Well, they're talking about probably toward Thursday and Friday. Mm. And it would be mainly in the effect of squally thunderstorms. You know, these early season, typically your strongest hurricanes coincide with the warmest ocean temperatures. And just like our Lake Michigan water temperatures don't peak till late August and even early September, the same is true of the oceans. And tomorrow will be the longest day, and yet the highest air temperatures occur a month beyond that, and the highest water temperatures, and we see it in the Great Lakes, and they see it in the Atlantic.
Just like in the winter, the shortest day, it's a month later when it's really at
exactly.
its worst, right?
There's a little bit of a climatological lag.
Yeah, that's what, right. Yeah. That's what I keep telling myself, because starting the day after tomorrow, Tom, the days get shorter. But I'm not going to get excited about that.
But you know what? This is interesting. We lose only seconds on our daylight. It'll be almost imperceptible for a while.
Not for Roe. He'll be able to percept it fully and totally. And he'll remind us. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, I woke up.
I know.
At 4:28.
I know.
And it was just a little darker.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. And I'm ready to get hysterical.
You take 5 seconds of sunlight away from Roe, and he knows it.
Oh. I know all about it.
Then he needs that lamp that you have in your house.
This is great, though. I was out late last night, you know, out in on my patio, staring at the sky, waiting for bullets to rain on me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, my God, there was still light in the sky, you know, like into the... to like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can still, the light was perceived, like it was that bluish color.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always so. That's the best time of year.
And if you travel north to the tundra regions in northern Canada and all that, you know, that's the night, it's the period of the midnight sun now.
Were you up there a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. It was funny. It rained the first 4 days we were there. We were there a total of 4 days. The last day we finally got some sun. It was beautiful. But it was lovely and cool.
That's a quick in and out for a jaunt going all the way up there.
I know. It really is. It was just to be a kind of a short visit. But, the sun was going down at 11:45 and coming up around 4 o'clock in the morning. And, of course...
Where you were. But you're south.
We're south. Yeah, we're around Anchorage. If you went up to Fairbanks, you still have the sun dip below the horizon for a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours. But then if you go a little farther north than that, it's really wild. I've been up there once. I flew up with a guide, and we were up by Kobuk, which is way up in northwest Alaska in the Brooks Range. And that's the northernmost mountain range. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, the sun was at 70 degrees above the horizon, you know, almost overhead.
Mm.
And as you said, though, it kind of spins in the sky.
Right. It goes around. Right.
Oh, that must be remarkable.
I've seen video of that, obviously. That and the bear taking a dip in someone's pool.
Yeah. Have you run into any bears at all?
You know what? It's interesting.
We were asking about that earlier.
I have only seen one up close up there. I've flown over them before. And one little cub came out of the bushes back behind.
Oh, that was scare the poop out of me.
Because
all I would think is, their mom's got to be somewhere.
I know. You know, it was funny. I had my folks up there, and my mother, I said, hey, Mom and Dad, come on down here. There's a bear out in the back. And my mother said, oh, quick, call the police. She saw some guy going up a trail on the side of this mountain about a half a mile away. And I said, call the police and tell them what, Mom? And he said, that there's a bear in Alaska? I said, they'd laugh us out of this state. You know, and but he was at no risk. But, yeah, they've been around. They most of the time don't want anything to do with you. You know, they'll unless they're looking for food.
Yeah. Like that video of the one, you know, climbing up on the window like,
right.
Let me in.
Right.
Cookies.
I smell cookies.
That's right. Well, you know, and you're fined if you don't cover your garbage and so forth up there. You got to put your garbage cans in a locked container so these bears can't get at
But
them.
They're pretty good at that, right?
They are.
I mean, the bears, even if you... if you don't have a sophisticated enough lock, they'll figure it out.
I've heard that they can just break the glass and get right in.
Yeah,
They're very good at that stuff. Like the campers who go out in the wilderness for overnight, they have these special locking systems for all of their food and their coolers and everything like that. Bear-proof.
Well, you're encouraged to hang them up in the trees, you know, above the ground. And they tell you, you know, don't cook food too openly.
Yeah. This, by the way, is a problem I'm never going to have. So let's not worry about it. The idea of, oh, you're camping and there might be a bear that's going to be eating your garbage, right. That's not going to happen for me.
But Tom, well, we live vicariously through you and your experience.
I know, and I was picturing Roe and me when you guys were talking earlier, running away. you know what they always say in Alaska?
Gosh.
You don't have to be the fastest runner. You just have to be faster than anybody
else. Right.
Yeah.
Then they become dinner and you get away. You know?
Second slowest.
Right.
But that is a bit of an issue. But you, me, and a bear, and the bear be like, you know what?
Oh, no.
You two, by the way, both of you are short of breath.
I don't want nothing
to do with this.
I know.
I stop and I think about what compels people to do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like to go out and see things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really prefer it on a big 60-inch screen. But, but you know, sometimes I'll go out, you know, you see it and you breathe the air and you get a little sense of it. But then I'm like, okay, now what do we do? And they're like, oh, no, we're going to spend the night here. No, we're not.
Yeah.
No, we are not.
What, have you guys ever been out to Yellowstone Park? These people actually roll down the windows and they're feeding the bears.
Yeah, that's a bad move.
Out of the car. And it's, you know, and you'll get away with that, you know, for a certain period of time. But then, you know. God forbid if one of these bears goes crazy on
you. Yeah, and a bear doesn't thinks you got something better in there that you're not giving them.
Well, like maybe you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
not good.
I also don't want to get in the waters with sharks either.
I agree.
I have certain rules, Tom.
Me too.
They're simple.
Hey, even man-o-wars. Have you ever been stung by one of those?
No, but no. I've seen them and they, ugh.
Ooh.
I've had a jellyfish sting and that's enough.
I know.
Tough.
It's like,
ouch.
It's been described as a bee sting, only like about 300 bee stings on the same location. You know, one of those tentacles filled, covered with
sounds
acid.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of fun, though.
Luckily, you avoid all outdoors and contact. You just sit in your hot tub and you're in your
It turns out it's really not a hot tub. It's more of a kiddie pool. But I'm sitting back there with my music and my
and
my
his 12-foot video screen where he's watching nature shows. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
It's a nice safe
outside.
Distance.
I'm outside. Oh, my God, a mosquito! Run!
That's your outdoorsiness.
I am exactly the opposite. When you know people are like, "Yeah, well, we were out camping, but we had to bury the food because of the bears," and I'm like, "You did what?" Yeah. To me, roughing it is basic cable. You know, if it's like if I don't get the satellite going and the cable,
that's
I'm like,
it.
"Wait." If I don't have my premium channels, that's roughing it.
Well, maybe you should do glamping. You know, that alternative to camping where you have chandeliers in your tent.
No.
You have cable, I think.
No, it's still a tent. You know, it's like a tent. I prefer a building that's got, you know, sides and actual plumbing.
Right.
You know, and a guy downstairs is going to be like, yes, sir, can I get you a cab? You know, I prefer that.
Right. And something more than a screen between you and whatever piece of wildlife is trying to get at you from outside.
Yeah. I am a big fan, a big fan of civilization.
Yes.
Even this one.
I know.
I am a big fan.
I know.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. It has its... It has its hang-ups, but it has a lot of advantages, too, doesn't it?
A lot of advantages. You can go get things to drink in plastic that are already cold.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. And toilet paper.
Right. And actually a place to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And a soft mattress.
Right.
You know, things like that.
Look, there's a log over there. What am I supposed to do with the log?
I'd love to see you on that Bear Grylls show.
I always tell the story, even though I was 15, about going on Outward Bound. And that, you know, and I was like, well, I have to... Excuse me, I have to use the washroom.
The facilities.
Sort of the more serious one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where should I go?
Yeah.
And the guide goes, well, there's a stump over there. Just go over and use it. I'm like, what am I going to? And I'm like, I honestly got it. I was like,
how do you use that?
What do I do with the stump?
I love that camping story, especially because at the end you were like right overlooking Great America.
Yes.
Right? You thought you were in the wilderness and then you kind of came out of the pasture or wherever you were and there you go. You're
in Great
America.
The parking lot of Great America.
Rhyme.
Over Six Flags over St. Louis. Just to be so it wasn't like Gurnee. I would have recognized Gurnee.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, we will see you tonight on the 5, 6, 9, and 10 o'clock.
Guys, it is so good to be back and to hear
so
your voices
to have
again
you guys.
On our little direct line here. And happy Monday to you.
You too. Yes. Glad you're okay,
you
Tom.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. You know what? I'm telling you something. It keeps you honest.
It does. So. Keeps you thinking about your health. And
it's true. Yeah.
Good.
Anyway, guys, it's good to talk to you, and have a great day.
I'm glad a bear didn't eat you. Thank you.
I am too, Ro. Thanks, guys.
Thank God for small favors.
I'm even happier than you are about that. <you know? laughs>
Violetta Potomatics got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
She's real. She's Chicago. She's Robin Baumgarten. Watch Robin and the rest of the WGN Morning News team weekdays 4 to 10 on Chicago's very own WGN-TV.
All right. We have Judy Pilak standing by with the WGN News. And then Bob Baer is going to join us. Highly regarded, respected former CIA operative agent. And he is, now you see him on the cable news. He writes books about all the troubles in the world. And we got a lot of it today, and he's going to join us to talk about now the new situation in Syria with Russia. Russia now threatening to shoot down our aircraft in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the good relations with Putin? What happened to those?
That would pay off.
And now that Otto Warmbier has been returned to the United States and perished and died, just announced this afternoon, his parents announced in Cincinnati that that young man that was held by the North Koreans has succumbed to his injuries. What does that mean for the United States and North Korea, and specifically for the Trump administration and North Korea? We will hear from Bob Baer coming up right after Judy Pilak's news, 2 minutes away. Ro Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up tonight after 6:10, a pair of tickets. See Blake Shelton and Kelly Clarkson perform at Soldier Field for the opening ceremony of the DoD Warrior Games, which are taking place here starting on June 30th. The concert's on July 1st.
Go and cheer on our heroes.
Yep.
Because it's a fun time. Great
and
thing.
And, Ro, we're going to that, right?
You're taking us, is what Violetta's saying.
Yes, that's what Violetta has just demanded, that I take us all. I think we should go to that. That should be something.
I'd like to go.
That would be a very fun event.
We went there once.
Soldier Field. And Soldier Field, what better place to do it, right? Mm-hmm. All right, Bob Baer is joining us, and he is one of the most regarded CIA officers in that intelligence service's history. He's a security analyst for CNN, author of See No Evil, A True Story of a Ground Soldier in the CIA's War Against Terrorism. And, Bob, I want to start with this. That the U.S. shot down, U.S. Navy Super Hornet shot down a Syrian Sukhoi-22, which was Sukhoi-22, which is an aircraft that is obviously Russian built and probably Russian maintained, because it was trying to attack the Syrian jet was trying to attack U.S. backed forces in Syria. Now, Russia has turned around and said, hey, we're going to treat, because we're backing the Syrian regime here, we're going to treat any U.S. aircraft in the region as potentially hostile, and therefore it would be subject to being shot down if it acts in a hostile way. Where is all of the rapprochement going with Russia? Why is that happening?
Yeah, whose side are we on?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, one day we're fighting with Russia against the Islamic State, and it's not like the Russians haven't made it clear that we're the ally of Iran in Syria. So it's insane. You just can't attack one half of an alliance and assume the other half is going to say, oh, well, stuff happens. It's crazy. We also don't know who the pilot was. The Syrians are not capable of keeping their Su-22s up in the air, and they don't have enough pilots, too. So for all we know, it could have been an Iranian pilot or a Russian pilot. I mean, that's just sheer speculation. But it underlines the fact is that we are inching toward a war with Iran, and if it's in Syria, it will draw in Russia.
Bob, I was just going to say, when Russian defense minister today said it would view as targets any flying objects over Syria, including U.S. planes of any sort, I mean, when they say target, does that mean we should be bracing for the possibility they would shoot down one of our aircraft?
Oh, absolutely. That was very clear. It was clear as it gets. And they've got advanced surface-to-air weapon systems there, the S-300s. Which could take down a slow American airplane at a fairly low altitude. And we are flying missions in Syria at low altitude, so I think the Russians could easily take down an American airplane, and that's about probably the only warning we're going to get.
The one that they just issued, what you're saying is by telling us right now, that's the warning.
Yes, I think Putin is absolutely deadly serious. He will not take this lightly if we continue to shoot airplanes down, whether Syrian markings or Russian.
Well, you have this statement by the Defense Department over the weekend saying that, you know, basically the president has said that Mattis is under the order to obliterate ISIS, and that's what the secretary is going to do. They're going to obliterate ISIS. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure what that means, because if ISIS were easily obliteratable, I mean, wouldn't we have been? Isn't that kind of what we're doing anyway? Isn't that sort of what the business of all of that has been about? And does that mean that we're just going to try to up speed the tempo of operations? What does that mean to you, Bob?
What it means to me is that the evidence is they're hitting targets much more quickly and much more indiscriminately. There's been a huge amount of civilians killed in and around Raqqa. ISIS, of course, doesn't usually wear uniforms. They especially aren't now. And it's clear the administration wants to make a move on eastern old Mosul in Iraq and Raqqa and get rid of these guys. The president, not surprisingly, wants a victory. But the problem is when you push the envelope like this in a place like Syria where there are no clear front lines, you're going to end up shooting up our putative allies, which is Iran and Russia. There's already been three attacks on Russian allied forces, Hezbollah, which are all fighting. It's just amazing that we're on the side of Hezbollah. I mean, you talk about confusion. I mean, look, I spent my entire life in that part of the world, and I'm confused. Who's on first?
Right. Who we?
I don't feel so bad.
Right. Who are we shooting at, and why are we shooting at them?
And who's on what side?
Yeah. And it was a lot clearer when we knew that the Russians were, everybody sort of sided off, right? You had, there was a center line. You had the Russians on one side and all of their fiats, and then we had us and all of our fiats. So we knew. But now
it was so much more simpler, the Cold War. I mean, can you believe we're having this conversation? Wouldn't it be nice to have the Cold War back?
I know. For those of us who grew up during it and, remember it well, we remember it fondly because it was cold primarily. I mean, obviously Vietnam wasn't, but it was, other than that, it was certainly after that engagement, it was just a lot of us staring each other down. And what is interesting is that we do find ourselves on the same side. And the Trump administration, despite its rhetoric to folks that may not follow this as closely, we are on the same side as the Russians part of the time, only when it comes to ISIS. But we are sort of on the opposite side of the Russians when it comes to the Syrian regime, but we're being quiet about that. Now, in the meantime, the Iranians are involved in this because the Iranians want Bashar al-Assad to survive. But so we end up working with Iranians. As a matter of fact, there was one action in Iraq. Now, imagine this for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
There was one action within the last month in Iraq in which U.S. advisors were on the ground with Iranian and Kurdish troops. So we were there with the Iranians.
It's nuts. Seriously, it's nuts. I mean, we are in Mosul, we're essentially providing the Air Force for Iranian-backed militias to take that part of Iraq.
Right.
So, at one point, in Syria we're bombing them, and in Iraq we're fully lined up with them on the battlefield. It's nuts.
So if you go back and you just go back, just a very quick point of history here. Mm-hmm. When you go back and you think about how did this all start, one of the precipitating events of Saddam Hussein's bad behavior that led to the first and then second war in Iraq, Persian Gulf War and the war in Iraq, was the Iran-Iraq war, in which he then had to be the strong man and say that he had chemical weapons and nuclear weapons and didn't want anybody to do anything to him because he was trying to protect himself against the Iranians. And we also didn't want the Iranians to go into Iraq because they had taken our hostages. And now here we are. We're helping the Iranians take Iraq. I don't get it. But let's move to North Korea.
I don't either. I speak Arabic. I speak Persian. I've been there forever, and I don't get it. It's the 100 years war, and someone's got to give us a way out, like fast.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about North Korea very quickly here, because this story has developed since we talked to you earlier today about being on. Out of Warmbier, the young man, the University of Virginia student, who was arrested in North Korea for disturbing a political sign, Sentenced to 15 years hard labor. He was released last week, last Tuesday, flown back to Cincinnati in a coma. He has now died. This is going to create a political issue for the White House and what their response to North Korea is going to be. What do you anticipate?
Look, it's a tough one for the president. I mean, I think, first of all, there should be a law that no Americans can legally travel to North Korea. That we've had those laws in the past. If you go there, you're on your own. That would have simplified things. Americans should not be going there, period. End of story. Now there's an enormous amount of pressure on the president because we don't have a decent back channel. It's very clear to everyone who's watching this that the North Korean regime killed an innocent American, and they're never going to give us answers, and they're irrational, and what do you do next? I mean, Trump is probably not liking his job much today.
Yeah, it's tough because no matter what, there's no good answer. I mean, that's the one thing.
No, there is none.
That every president, you know, going back to George W. Bush, well, mostly every president, you know, that's had to deal with Kim Il-sung and you know, all of his, you know, kids and his family in North Korea has not wanted to deal with. But this is particularly bad because Kim Jong-un does seem to be intent upon making sure that at the end of this day, however it ends, he's going to end up with a nuclear weapon that's capable of striking some sort of important American infrastructure so that he can pursue his will and, you know, get his Johnny Walker Black or Johnny Walker Blue or whatever it is he's looking for, mm-hmm. and American media and all the things that he wants to, you know, to indulge in while he starves his own people. It's just as insanely bad as we could possibly imagine it to be, right?
It is. It's that bad. We simply do not know. He will, you know, who knows for sure, 5-10 years, get an ICBM missile that can hit Los Angeles. And everybody's going to say, well, he'd never do that because we would destroy him. But we don't know that because he's irrational. Even by North Korean terms, he's irrational.
Right.
Even the Chinese tell us he's crazy. So, I mean, you know, we just don't know what he's going to do. And if you're the president of the United States, do you want to risk taking out those nuclear facilities and then having the North Korean army overrun South Korea, which they could do in a matter of days? I mean, those are the consequences, and U.S. troops there, and on and on and on.
Bob, right before we let you go, there's a story developing now that there may have been a letter that one of these intelligence committees is looking for that concerns General Michael Flynn and Michael Flynn's work in Saudi Arabia combined effort of the Saudis and the Russians to fund and build nuclear weaponry in Saudi Arabia, in the kingdom, and that Mike Flynn might have been a part of that business dealing in some way, shape, or form between the Russians and the Saudis as it pertains to nuclear weapons. Does that...
The Saudis, at the moment the Iranians, you know, go back to building a nuclear weapon, the Saudis are going to get one. They're going to steal the technology wherever they can get it from or simply buy it. And, you know, clearly Flynn was off the reservation. And the CIA and the FBI both warned Trump, don't hire him as national security advisor. But Trump had such disdain for our intelligence services, he ignored him. And, of course, this turned out to be a horrible mistake.
Yeah. Mm. All right, Bob, thank you very much. What a happy Monday, huh? Beautiful day here, Bob. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Hope things are good in Colorado. All right,
thanks, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. All right.
He never makes us feel good.
Violetta Podomatic, although he informs us.
He does.
Violetta Podomatic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots. All right, this is Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, a top 5 of 5 that you won't believe. We got Judy's News coming your way in just about 2 minutes. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, State Controller Susana Mendoza is going to join us.
Whoa, a lot going on.
Yeah.
Lots to talk about.
And we got the Blake Shelton, Kelly Clarkson tickets to give away, too. Stay right here. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up at the 6 o'clock hour, I got tickets for you to go see Blake Shelton and Kelly Clarkson live at the Soldier Field.
That'll be a great concert.
July 1st.
And a great reason to be there. The Warrior Games underway at Soldier Field. You see our heroes competing in all kinds of different athletic contests, kind of like a mini Olympics.
Right.
It's some great things to see, and their families are out there. It's just fun to, get out there and cheer for them and be part of it. It's a really fun day out or weekend out.
And Violetta might be out there too, just the way she's behaving.
Yes. She's been begging to go. I don't know if it's the concert, the Warrior Games, all of the above.
All of it.
Hoping that
I
you'll pay
take
for
it all in.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
And I'm a country girl at heart.
You're a little. Which country? I think that's the question that we would like to ask. I heard the control room asking something. I wasn't sure, but then I realized which country. Yeah.
America.
Country girl, which country? Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. All right, listen, we've got important stuff to get to here. And,
yes, we do.
We can't dilly-dally-dolly.
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Number 5.
All right, well, this was quite an interesting Sunday morning if
it
you watched
was.
All the talk shows, because Jay Sekulow, who was a member of President Trump's legal defense team, Jay is part of an organization, a legal organization, been around for a number of years now, takes on, advocates conservative causes, mm-hmm. and takes on conservative positions with amicus briefs and things like that.
So you see him on the Fox News Channel a lot.
You do, and Jay's been around a long time, and Jay is very good on television because he looks like he looks like he should be on TV. He looks like
He looks like the legal analyst on TV.
Right. He looks
glasses
like
glasses and the nice hair.
He looks like the guy making the argument at the end of Law and Order. That's what he looks like. But you know, everybody who was has been somewhat respectable, mm-hmm. and has had some form of credibility, mm-hmm. when they get within 300 feet of the president of the United States, they often have to make arguments that, well, strain credulity. And this is one where, even though the president tweeted that he was under investigation for firing Comey by the guy who told him to fire Comey, mm-hmm. right? Isn't that, do I have that right?
Yes.
Wasn't that what the tweet said? Here is the hardest working man in show business, Jay Sekulow, trying to make sense of that to all the morning news anchors.
Has the special counsel, Robert Mueller, formally notified the president that he is under investigation?
The president has not been notified by anyone that he's under investigation.
Well, but you don't know that he isn't under investigation now, do you?
Well, no one's notified us that he is, so I can't read people's minds. He takes the action that they also, by the way, recommended, and now he's being investigated by the Department of Justice. So he's being investigated for taking the action that the Attorney General and Deputy Attorney General recommended him to take by the agency who recommended the termination.
You've now said that he is being investigated after saying that you didn't.
No.
You just said,
no,
sir, that he's being, you just said that he's being investigated.
Oh, no, Chris, I said that the let me be crystal clear so you completely understand. We have not received, nor are we aware of any investigation of the President of the United States.
Sir, you just said
period.
Two times that he's being investigated.
No, I appreciate you trying to rephrase it, but I'm just being
I didn't rephrase it. Jay, this tape will speak for itself. You said he is being investigated, and it's not
Chris,
just being. Jay.
I do not appreciate you putting words in my mouth when I've been crystal clear that the president is not and has not been under investigation.
Well, you don't know that he's not under investigation again, sir.
I cannot read the mind. You're right, Chris. I can't read the mind
of
the special prosecutor.
Okay, so we're in agreement. You don't know whether he's under investigation. You don't know whether he's under
investigation.
You don't know whether he's under investigation or not.
Chris, this points out. Let me tell you one thing quickly about the constitutional theory, as you call it. It's actually called the Constitution. You know, the president has certain plenary authority.
I think
under
you
the
call it the constitutional theory, sir.
Yeah, it is a constitutional theory based on the Constitution.
I understand that.
Not so-called. It's the constitutional theory. It's part of the Constitution. President has inherent authority. Here's what you're trying to do, Chris, and I appreciate it.
Now you're reading minds again. Now you're reading minds again.
No, Chris, I deal with fact and law.
Don't tell me what I'm trying to do because you don't know what I'm trying to do. Actually, what I'm trying to get is a straight answer out of you.
That's the Fox News Channel. That's the Fox News Channel. It's not like he's on CBS having to defend himself.
That didn't clear anything up.
No. But he did it was the same, basically the same act on all the morning news shows because, and one of my favorite defenses here was that, the president didn't have enough characters in Twitter to really make himself clear.
To make it clear that what their explanation was is that he was just quoting the Washington Post story saying, oh, yeah, so I'm being investigated for firing the FBI director by the man who told me to fire the FBI director.
Imagine the meeting in which all of these people had to sit around and decide, you know what the best defense here is?
Here's what we're going to go with.
Twitter only uses 140 characters. Let's go with that. It's only 140 characters. Now, that has never stopped Trump from multiple tweeting on a single issue, right?
That's true. He just uses do those that chains of tweets to sort of go.
Yes.
Know.
He knows how to do that.
On
Don't
length.
Tell anybody that. Don't tell Chris Wallace, Fox News Channel, that. Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that wasn't clear at all.
No.
What just happened there?
No.
And it didn't clear up what the president already said. And
no.
That's what he was supposed to do.
So, I mean, basically they're trying to make the argument that if he is under, he's not under investigation. But if he were ever under investigation, he'd be under investigation by his own Justice Department for something his Justice Department told him to do. They're out to get him.
But they're not saying he's been investigated, or are they?
No. Yes.
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 No.
Exactly. Checking.
Got it.
In and
number four.
CNN White House correspondent Jim Acosta says the White House press secretary Sean Spicer is just kind of useless as tensions continue to escalate between the administration and the press corps. Acosta's comments came just after Spicer held an off-camera, off-microphone briefing.
There was no video, no audio allowed.
Right. Basically, what Sean Spicer did, he held and was an on-the-record briefing, though. Sometimes they'll do what they call a gaggle where it's off the record and they just, you know, everybody gets to sit around and they talk about planning for things or things they just don't want to take credit for necessarily. But it's more of an operational thing that goes on. This is basically the first no microphone, no camera official briefing of the White House since the advent of the recording device.
Yeah. It's so strange. Super strange. I mean, if this even happened in state government or, you know, anywhere, you'd be scratching your head over it.
Since Teddy Roosevelt, there has not been. I mean, it's about Teddy Roosevelt being the last time that they did this. A bunch of guys with their papers and trying to figure out what it was. Right. But they did this. And, well, here's Jim Acosta.
That's the White House behind me. The White House. And it's just, it's bizarre. I don't know what world we're living in right now, Brooke. We're standing at the White House, and they bring us into the briefing room here at the White House, and they won't answer these questions on camera or let us record the audio. I don't know why everybody is going along with this. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
And the only sense to make of it now this afternoon, given the new information, is that Sean Spicer does appear to be officially stepping aside. And even CNN's own Jim Acosta is confirming that now, in addition to Politico and Bloomberg saying that he's maybe moving into a different role in the West Wing, a shift that would make room for a new White House press secretary. They've confirmed that.
I'm going to miss this. He had great ratings.
Melissa McCarthy, I'm going to miss.
He had great ratings, as the president said. He was very much fun. Here's more of Jim Acosta.
And it just feels like we're sort of slowly but surely being dragged into what is a new normal in this country, where the president of the United States is allowed to insulate himself from answering hard questions. He hasn't had a full-blown press conference since February. He has these 2+2 press conferences with a foreign head of state where, you know, maybe he'll take a question from a conservative news media reporter and then somebody from the mainstream media. This isn't how we do things in this country, but for whatever reason, we're all going along with it. I don't understand why we covered that gaggle today, quite honestly, Brooke. If they can't give us the questions or the answers to the questions on camera or where we can record the audio, they're basically pointless at this point.
It's kind of true.
But it might have something to do with the Sean Spicer taking on a new role. I don't know, but that's been confirmed now by Fox as well.
Well, I don't know that makes any sense either, because what would it, why?
But this is his last day and he wasn't really in the role anymore. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That hopefully that this is just a one-off situation, I guess, would be the explanation, that a new White House press secretary would begin the tradition, you would hope, of allowing on-camera briefings.
I had the under on July 1st for Sean Spicer,
did
I not?
You did.
Right? I have the under on July 31st for Reince Priebus. I just want you to, I'm just telling you, watch what I say, not what I do.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Right. Sure.
You're freakishly right a lot.
I am freakishly right a lot. And this is one I knew that, I mean, this couldn't sustain. Sean Spicer, I mean, if Sean Spicer, if Hillary Clinton were in the White House right now and they did this, Sean Spicer would be releasing the most intense barrage of criticism on the White House.
Well,
you could imagine if you were still in the RNC.
But it happened during the campaign because she wasn't all that good at giving news conferences, as you remember.
No.
During the campaign.
No. This is, I'm going to miss him, though. Because not only did he have great ratings, he was a lot of fun to watch work. Because you know, very rarely do you ever get something like that. And then when he would walk away, the press would get all nuts about him. You know?
Sean.
Like, Sean!
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 Don't go away.
He seems like he popped a lot of, like, Tums and
gum. Oh, yeah. He was a big gum chewer. They used to make me fun of
him. He would swallow his gum.
10 gums.
Didn't they say he swallowed, like, 30 yes. pieces of gum a day?
Well, he thought that Melissa McCarthy went a little crazy with that impersonation, but that he was known to sort of, you know, to be a gum chewer.
Because he was nervous.
Stress.
He'd just swallow his gum?
Yeah. He just, I don't know. That was kind of his thing.
That was his thing.
You know, that's going to turn into one gigantic wad of gum in your stomach. You're going to, my mother would say, you're going to block your colon with that.
Seen it 100 times.
Stays in your system for seven years.
Classic blocked colon.
That's what you tell your siblings, right. Younger that, siblings.
Right, and then they buy it too. What? But I just saw it last night. God. Mm. Sean! Sean!
Sean.
Sean. All right. Top 5-5 continues checking in at
number 3.
Oh, boy. Judge in Bill Cosby's case declared a mistrial Saturday. Prosecutors say they will retry the case, but Gloria Allred, who represents 33 women who have all accused Cosby of sexual misconduct, thinks...
It's too early to celebrate, Mr. Cosby. Round 2 may be just around the corner. There can be justice, and there may be justice in the future. We can never underestimate the blinding power of celebrity. But justice will come.
It's going to be interesting because the difference here will be the number of his accusers that get to get up and...
Right. Mike Monaco, legal analyst for the show, pointed that out, that only one person alleging the same actions took place of the drugging and the sexual abuse. Only one was allowed to actually speak in the courtroom other than Andrea Constand. And the question is if what he did on these other times, or allegedly did, is so fitting of that exact profile, should the others be able to be one after another show up in court and tell their story as well? That could change the second time around.
Right.
Could get worse.
Right.
For him.
And Mike explained to us that the judge did that because it might seem prejudicial. Because mm-hmm. you're not supposed to, prior acts are generally not admissible. However, they're admissible if a pattern or criminal signature is to be proven. And that would be the argument. And that's why they only chose one other person who would testify the fact that this was his criminal signature.
Right. And there's a statute of limitations issue that several of the other women were not allowed to even bring a criminal case if they wanted to.
Right.
So they would that would be their day in court.
All right.
We'll see. I guess it is going a second time.
Well, we'll see if they do that. And I think one of the things that happens here, too, is if there is any kind of shadow of a doubt, do you want to send a guy to prison for the rest of his life, which is assumed it would be because it's kind of a minimum 10-year bid for whatever he would be convicted of, and he's 79 years old.
79.
And people don't tend to live to be 90 in prison, except for Red. Right? What was the guy from Shawshank? Oh, yeah. And then when he got out, I was like, I just got to kill myself.
Wise old man.
Oh, wait. Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. All right. Checking in at
number 2.
All right. Apparently, do not mess with Ashanti while she is trying to perform, or you are going to get an earful, my friends.
Uh-oh.
She was at the Alex Madonna Expo Center in San Luis Obispo, California.
Mm-hmm.
I know, we played there a number of times, haven't we?
I don't know about that.
When she went off at her crew during a video malfunction.
Hit the video off now. See, what I feel like is everybody in here paid their hard-earned money to get in this motherfucker tonight. So we are here to put on a motherfucking show, okay? We're gonna get this right.
I'm offended by that language use.
You wouldn't have liked that. And you're a big Ashanti fan, too.
Wait, hold on.
Not anymore.
Wait a second.
Kevin's out.
Hold on. I am Team Ashanti in this.
Yeah.
Those MFing people paid their MFing money to see an MFing show.
But what does this say to the kids, Ro?
Crowd was on her side on this one.
Yes.
I think. They really were. They wanted to get their money's worth.
Right.
Maybe they were scared. Like, Sam beat us up.
They paid their money and they wanted a show and all of a sudden it's bad. And also the video was blowing up her background vocals there too. Did you notice that? The video also had her singing on it.
Oh, okay.
So
that's never good.
That's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah. That's
not only these kids are going to be running around using the MF word just like it's nothing.
I want my F. I want my dinner. I was trying to swear without swearing.
Don't practice it.
Ma, where's my
FM? Ma, where's my MF and dinner?
I learned that at the Ashanti concert.
Ashanti said it.
I paid for my MF. No, wait. You paid for my MF and dinner, and I want my MF and dinner now, Ma.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Says it's fine. Can use that language,
Mom. Oh, Kevin, please don't use that language. Ashanti said it was okay!
She used it to her benefit. Kids will be trying that out everywhere now. I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, see? That's all I'm trying to say.
God. Oh, my God.
Ooh.
All right.
She was kind of protecting herself there, though, I thought.
Yeah, it turns out.
She's okay.
Yeah. All right. Wow. And... This show has turned very dark today, hasn't it?
It did.
So it's gone from dark to worse.
Well, it started out dark. That's true.
I'm with Ashanti. I am Team Ashanti.
And you were before, too, or no? Is that just new?
Yeah, no. It's going to get
new.
Darker even now.
Number one.
Donald Trump has responded to the death of University of Virginia student Out of Warm Beer just announced about an hour and a half ago now that Out of Warm Beer has passed away from his injuries suffered while in North Korean custody.
Pass on word that Otto Warm Beer has just passed away.
Oh, no.
He spent a year and a half in North Korea. A lot of bad things happened, but at least we got him home to be with his parents. We were so happy to see him, even though he was in very tough condition, but he just passed away a little while ago. It's a brutal regime, and we'll be able to handle it.
All right, and there's a statement as well that came out of the White House in which he says, Otto's fate deepens my administration's determination to prevent such tragedies from befalling innocent people at the hands of regimes that do not respect the rule of law or basic human decency. The United States once again condemns the brutality of the North Korean regime as we mourn its latest victim.
Mm-mm. Sad. Right.
And obviously there will be more on this as we continue more developments on this. His family has also released a statement, too. We'll have that coming up in the news in just a few minutes. But first, let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.
This is sad news.
Hmm.
Stephen Furst has died.
Oh.
He, of course, sprung to fame in Animal House as Flounder. Why did you call me Flounder? Why not? He was 63 years old. His sons, Nathan and Griffith, confirmed that their dad died on Facebook. Said Steve has a long list of earthly accomplishments. He was known to the world as a brilliant, prolific actor, filmmaker, but to his family and many dear friends, he was also a beloved husband, father, and kind friend whose memory will always be a blessing. He, you know, sprung to fame doing that. He had the 0.2 grade point average, as you recall.
Oh, yeah.
He's got Remember, they made a TV spinoff that lasted, I think, like six episodes.
Was
called
he
Delta
in?
House. Yeah, he was in. He's one of the only actors who
from
moved
the original.
Over. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He also was on St. Elsewhere and Babylon 5.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember on St. Elsewhere. Yes.
Right. So he was in a bunch of other things throughout his career.
63. Gosh, that is not the right number.
It's very sad.
It is. It really is. It's on the same day that they reported that Carrie Fisher had heroin and cocaine in her system at the time of her death, very early as well, 60 years old in her case.
Right. Right. Well, that's that. And I don't know that that came as a surprise to many people who knew much about Carrie Fisher's life.
But 60, gosh, I don't know.
But Stephen First. And Stephen First, of course, one of the most important and iconic lines of all times we use it in the Carnarvon Wagon. Every week. Hmm. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Yeah.
You didn't throw up on... You didn't... You didn't throw up at Dean Wormer. What was the line? And now I can't believe I can't do it.
Line,
I'm Animal's line.
We need line,
please. Line! Sean!
I can't believe I threw up in front of Dean Wormer.
You threw up on Dean Wormer, right? Wasn't that it? No flounder.
Were you one of those guys who can quote every line from that movie?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Basically,
at one point in time.
I think that every white male in America between the ages of 55 and 35 can quote every line in that movie.
That and Caddyshack. Say those two.
Oh, my God. He was so brilliant in that film, though. So absolutely brilliant.
Mm.
I mean, it was, when you think about it, there was never a moment where you didn't think he was Kent Dorfman. Right? And you got to remember, he was an actor. Oh, boy, this is going to be great.
Now finish it, Flounder.
Are you kidding? I never shot anything before in my life.
I thought you hated Niedermeyer's guts.
I do.
And what about that horse? Is there anything in the world you hate as much as that horse? Get it over with, kid. Just blanks,
right? Oh, God.
The Facebook post from his sons is so heartfelt. It really, for anyone who's a fan of Stephen First, it's like, to truly honor him, they said, do not cry for his loss, but rather enjoy the memories of all the times he made you snicker, you laugh, or even snort to your own embarrassment. And that's true. It's kind of snort-worthy comedy that he did. Like, chuckle.
That is true. Very, very. They talk about how prolific he was. He worked after he was in Animal House. He'd done a few things before Animal House, not very much, but he worked constantly, and sometimes it was voiceover work, mm-hmm. TV series. But he was never not working, mm-hmm. which is a pretty amazing thing. And it was also he's one of those guys in Hollywood, which makes up a great percentage of them. They're just working actors, never mm-hmm. going to be gigantic stars, but recognizable. And I know
sure.
that he did a number of those kinds of fan festivals. He was a fan favorite at those.
Mm-hmm.
There was one of the anniversaries of Animal House. I don't know, it was the 30th anniversary or something. I think maybe it was of Animal House or 35th anniversary. They all came to Chicago. And the many of the surviving cast members were here, and mm-hmm. they did a tour. And he's a lovely guy. And
you get a chance to interview him?
Yeah, we interviewed him. That was Peter Riegert and he and just a bunch of people. And
it's
it
hard for you when they're like movies from your childhood to not be a fanboy, because I find
that's impossible.
Those are the hardest, right? To interview somebody who you really worshipped as a child, or you remember every line of their movie, and then suddenly you see them later in life, and you're supposed to be cool.
Yeah, and that's
kind of hard,
right? Because it was you're sitting there with him and with Peter Riegert, right, who played Otter, and you're like, oh, and he would and he had just been on The Sopranos too at the same time, and I'm like, oh, come on, oh, what am I gonna say?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can't.
Did you do that Chris Farley thing from SNL?
Remember that time?
Yeah.
Remember that time you threw up a Dean Wormer?
Remember?
Yes, I. Essentially, I did do that with him. But, you know, this is very bad news also for Wayne Knight, the actor who was in Seinfeld and Jurassic Park and all those other. Because everybody confused Stephen Furst and Wayne Knight forever in their career. I believe I might have even said to Stephen Furst, God, you were great on Seinfeld. As Newman?
That wasn't me.
You know, it was a kind of a bad, that's a bad thing.
It is a bad thing. Yeah. With great actors.
Yeah. But what an amazing, amazing, amazing career he had, Stephen Furst. And, you know, it's like those guys were forever young because they, you know, they're forever going to be college kids.
Yeah, they're frozen in time because they're so memorable in that one role. It's remarkable.
Yeah, that is. And it is really, when you go back and you watch that movie, it really was amazing.
It stands the test of time.
Oh, my God, forever. I mean, it's one of those films that it was so brilliantly written. Mm-hmm. And you can go back, by the way, because there's that documentary that is out, Drunk, Stoned, Something and Dead, you know, the thing about National Lampoon. Mm-hmm. And this really was a production by National Lampoon in the sense that it was written by Doug Kenny, who was the, you know, sort of the genius behind National Lampoon. And Harold Ramis, who was there, and John Landis. You know, all these people had been around. John Belushi been there.
Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant, Dead, the story of National Lampoon.
It gets into how Animal House kind of blew up National Lampoon in a lot of ways because it changed the direction of the magazine and all of that. Karen Allen was also part of that tour, too. And I was like, so, you know, Karen Allen. It was a gigantic crush on her in that movie. Just couldn't get over it.
So they all came? All of them came to be interviewed?
You know, Tom Hulce, right, goes on to play Mozart in Amadeus.
Loved him in that.
And yet, he was Larry Kroger.
I know. How did that work?
Dropping the girl off, the mayor's daughter up in a shopping cart.
It's quite the turn.
Yeah.
And it worked both ways for some reason. He was brilliant in both.
It totally worked. And you also got to see... you know, things that you never thought you were going to see before or after in that film. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it doesn't get more brilliant than that. And you got to see Donald Sutherland's butt, which was weird.
Also memorable.
It was memorable. That was like a shocking moment where he's wearing the sweater and no pants. And you're like, hey, wait a second.
Supposed to happen.
So obviously our thoughts are with the family of Stephen Furst today, and this is kind of a fitting tribute to a great comedic actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead of being sad, celebrate him, what he did and how he made you laugh.
Violetta Powder Max got the WGN traffic trouble spots. Concho with Anna DeFlances right here, 720 WGN. We're not really good at the tributes, I've decided.
We could be better. Remembering what made you laugh.
All right, don't forget that we've got tickets to go see Blake Shelton and Kelly Clarkson coming your way in the 6 o'clock hour.
Great.
Stay tuned for that. And on a week from Friday, today's Monday. So not this Friday. We're going to be at the United Center this Friday for the big NHL Draft Fan Fest.
It's going to be fun.
We're going to be like within the Fan Fest, correct? Outside?
Yeah. That's what we're going to be doing.
That's all I got.
I just couldn't take my eyes off of Violetta jumping up and down and mouthing the words Fan Fest.
Oh, Violetta, you didn't hear the news. You're not coming. Sorry about that.
What? Yeah. No, I'm going to go in the mosh pit.
I made that up.
Is there a mosh pit?
Yeah, there's a mosh pit. Yes. Yeah. Be careful, though, because if you fall down, you're going to get cut with a skate. So be careful. That's going to be something.
That didn't sound nice.
So we're going to be out there on Friday. Then a week from Friday, we are going to be, it's a long way of saying, we're going to be broadcasting live from Lyle for the Eyes to the Skies Festival, celebrating 35th anniversary this year, by the way. It's 100% volunteer, 100% to charity, with over $800,000. That gets garnered every year by this.
Vila, you're here. You're not coming to that either.
Yes, I am.
Enjoy weather-dependent tethered balloon rides. I like this. Weather-dependent.
And tethered is good, too.
Yeah.
we'll go up safe. Regardless
we'll
of the
fine.
Weather.
Carnival, nightly fireworks, music, food, and more. We'll be giving away a tether balloon line for two during ride, not like ride between during the broadcast between the hours of 3 and 7 that day.
Cool.
Get details online at WGNradio.com/events, and it's all brought to you by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands, part of the Hometown Voices Tour.
Very nice. There,
right? Wait, is Violetta going to the United Center with us?
FanFest.
She is?
FanFest. She always gets mad that Kevin just gets to go to a lot of the sports things, and she gets locked out and has to stay at home.
Honest to God, is like raising two kids, isn't it?
There's never traffic events, you know?
It's like, why does Kevin get to go and I don't get to go?
Right. I want to go.
No big deal.
And then they fight in the back seat on the way there.
Fight for
always
a chair.
Always have to decide what's on the radio.
Yeah. Sometimes Aunt Judy has to sit between them.
Settle down.
Sort of like Aunt Edna from Vacation. Judy's if I could just sort of
peacemaker.
Relive all those movies.
I don't care if they kill themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Or each other.
Right. Or you, for that matter.
Oh, no.
And if you do go, we're just going to wrap you in a blanket and put you on the top of the car because we got to get you back to your home in Arizona.
Perfect.
Oh, God.
Everybody ready for a balloon ride?
Yes.
I'll be there.
Tethered balloon ride.
Yes. I think that's an important
weather
point.
Dependent tethered. It's a lot of hypotheticals.
I'd like to ask them, would you mind in a lightning storm, would you mind taking Violetta up?
And untethered?
We could untether it, too.
Just see where she goes.
Yeah. See how far she goes.
You guys will still be able to hear me. It echoes up there.
You're like a message in a bottle. We just put you up there, and then wherever you land. And with her luck, it'll be, you know.
Croatia.
Yeah.
Back home.
But exactly. No, Croatia would be bad for her.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Right, because they would be...
Near home.
Right, but not close, but the wrong part of home. It's where they have to find the closest well. All right. We've got Judy Pilak's news coming your way. And then Susana Mendoza is going to join us to talk about the crisis here in the state of Illinois.
My bills are all due and the baby needs shoes and I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter of a pound, but I'm busted.
Yeah, that is true.
State of Illinois' new song.
A big stack of bills that gets bigger each day.
Yep.
The county's gonna haul my belongings away because I'm busted.
All right. That pretty much describes the state of Illinois. Oh, also the city of Chicago. But this is a separate issue.
Separate.
I don't want to, you know, get...
It's depressing to talk about both of them.
And, you know, we were just talking off the air about a story that is in one of the local business publications about how there's one major corporation that's having trouble getting executives to come to Chicago because they're worried about crime and taxes.
Exactly right. They didn't name the corporation, but Crane Chicago Business has a story about it today and that the reputation of Chicago was making them not want to choose the assignment here.
Right.
Top execs.
So let's just think about that. That's a tipping point. That's an important moment because if we don't get this thing straightened around, if we don't get a handle on the crime, even though it's a it's an awful situation, it doesn't really impact business so much in Chicago. It impacts neighborhoods and it impacts it in a horrific way.
Something we all have a stake in trying to fix,
right? But it doesn't. But you know, for whether you're a tourist or you're running a business. Downtown Chicago, the crime in the city doesn't seem to be imperiling. Mm-hmm. On the other side of this coin, though, you still have, you know, it's awful and it's a human tragedy, and that needs to be addressed. And somehow overlaying business and government and all that doesn't seem to be helping. There doesn't seem to be any kind of a solution that takes on it. Now, then compare it to what's happening in the state, where the state is busted broke, refuses to fix itself. Between the Democrats and the Republicans in Springfield, nobody is willing to give an inch to get something done here, including passing a budget. And then you got the comptroller of the state of Illinois, Susana Mendoza, who says that the state budget is now in massive crisis mode. Is that correct, comptroller?
That is correct, Ro. Hi, Ro and Anna. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. That is correct. Yes. All right. So I want to lay this at everybody's doorstep here. I know you're new down there, but still, we still got to lay it at some doorsteps here. What can be done here? If you have the Republicans and Democrats refusing to agree on these critical sticking points, and the thing is that what the governor's asking for is fiscal responsibility. What it appears to me that the Speaker of the House is asking for is sort of business as usual to at least some degree, right? I mean, at some point there is going to have to be pension reform. At some point there is going to have to be. The state just can't continue to afford what it's doing. Why can't cooler heads prevail and some sort of compromise be worked out? You're new down there. You got fresh eyes on the problem. What happened?
Well, number one, I would disagree that the governor is for fiscal responsibility because, you know, since he's taken office in just 2 short years, the bill backlog, which my office is responsible, of course, for paying the state's bills, right? It has more than tripled. As of today, we're sitting on about $15.1 billion of bills that have yet to be paid for services that have already been rendered. You know, thousands of jobs have been lost in the state, not necessarily because of taxes, but because people can't meet their payrolls because they'd entered into contracts for services with the state of Illinois. You know, this issue of calling yourself a fiscal conservative when, frankly, we continue to add to the, not just the bill backlog, but also to the insane amount of money that we are just going to burn, taxpayer dollars that are going towards late payment interest penalties, which are now north of $800 million. I mean, how is that fiscally conservative at all? It's not fiscally responsible. The fact that, you know, hundreds of social service providers have gone under over the last 2 years alone, over a million people who are vulnerable populations who require services from these vendors have lost their services. The human capital element alone has been brutal, but also our fiscal house has never been worse off. So none of these, what I would call morally corrupt policies, are actually fiscally sound. It's the complete opposite. We're doing wrong by people, and we're also hurting taxpayers on the bottom line. So I would disagree that the policies of this governor are fiscally responsible. They're anything.
Well, he's asking for fiscal constraint. Let me rephrase that. He's asking for. I mean, we all agree on that.
There's
he's
a
asking
difference, for right? And I would agree on that. Yeah, 100%. We need to do that. And
as a taxpayer, I consider that to be responsible.
Like yesterday.
I mean, as a taxpayer, I consider constraint.
The rhetoric is there, but the actions are not. Right. Okay. So, I mean, we can say one thing. I think we can all agree here, all your listeners too, that the state of Illinois needs to tighten its belt, that people should not be spending beyond their means. But, you know, when that tax, remember the tax that was 5% went down to 3.75?
Yes.
That automatically blew like a $4.5 billion hole in our budget. It's never been addressed. And the reality of it is that just in the last year alone, Ro and Anna, you've probably not heard this number, but we have been overspending our incoming resources to the tune of almost $600 million a month. So we are completely bleeding as bad as you possibly can. When I talk about being in the worst and most massive fiscal crisis, it's not a false alarm. I am trying to be as clear as possible with it, that the situation truly is unsustainable. We cannot continue to overspend because of all these court orders now and the fact that we haven't addressed a budget in 2 years. We're overspending at the tune of over $500 million a month. And every day that goes by without a budget continues to strain the entire vendor community. And by that, I don't mean rich people. I mean people that are providing basic services that have gone without payment for 7, 8 months, some medical providers, right, 2 years. And, you know, that means people are literally being denied medical coverage who have paid fully into their health care premiums. It means people are going to die. And, you know, as somebody who has to triage this situation on a daily basis, I mean, it's really disgusting to see this happening, and that I don't know at what point the legislature and the governor are going to realize that the political games have to be put aside and we have to do our jobs of taking care of the people of the state in a responsible, fiscally responsible, but also morally responsible way.
It's interesting because we hear the same arguments from Republicans as you do from Democrats, saying the same thing, like we can't continue to spend the way we do and we have to be responsible and we have to look to our future. Last week we were talking about the Republican plan, about if you're going to do an income tax raise, then let's do a property tax freeze to match that, which would be a 4-year commitment. Seems like that's hung up, and that's not really reached some kind of a middle ground.
The governor first said 4 years. Then the Senate passed a two-year property tax freeze, which you could consider moving towards that compromise. And then he said, no, that's not good enough. I really wanted a permanent tax freeze, but I'll take a four-year. I mean, that's not how you compromise. They passed school funding reform. He agreed that he loves 90% of the bill, but he's still going to veto it because it's not 100% of what he wants. I just don't think he has a sound grasp of what the word compromise means. And to call this Republican-presented budget the capital compromise when the governor has already said on the record that this is a budget he will support as long as they don't make any changes to it, how is that a compromise, right? I mean, again, you could say one thing, but your actions speak very differently. And unfortunately, those actions have been fiscally detrimental to the entire state of Illinois. Whether you're a patient waiting for medical service or you're a business looking to be able to make payroll and keep people employed.
All right, if you had a magic wand, I'm going to make you the high potentate of the state of Illinois for exactly
that's a cool title.
30. I'm going to give you exactly 30 days and you can do whatever you want for 30 days, which is we kind of see this in Washington right now. If I did that, what would you do? What could you do if you could do anything right now? What do you think would be the solution to this problem?
So besides getting a new governor in 30 days, I would...
No, you're the potentate. You're in charge.
Yeah. So first of all, I think that a good starting point would be what the Senate has worked on, but also incorporate some of the elements that the Civic Federation talked about, and also some of the elements that the Commercial Club, primarily that the governor or whoever that person is, that potentate would say, we're not going to worry about non-budgetary related issues when working out a budget solution, right? So we're going to need to pay down the bill backlog. Both parties can agree that revenue is going to have to be addressed, revenue increase, because we owe $15 billion and growing in bill backlogs. That money's not going to pay for itself, right? You can't grow it on a tree. You, by not focusing on things that don't bring a single penny to the state of Illinois, like redistricting or term limits. And by the way, as a Democrat, I'm in favor of redistricting. I just don't think that it should be held in exchange for passing a budget that addresses our fiscal house. So, you know, pass a budget, compromise, you know, talk about where the areas that you can actually come to an agreement are, but they shouldn't be areas that are being discussed as part of this budget that don't even bring any additional revenue to the state of Illinois. Term limits doesn't let me pay the bills, right?
I understand that. Okay, right. So let's not confuse this with the issue with other non-budgetary issues like term limits or like redistricting. Okay. Let's talk about in the next, what needs to get done here. Does the income tax in Illinois need to go back to 5%?
Well, I think that needs to be that's what they can agree to, you know, come to a resolution on. For sure, it has to be increased, no doubt about it. And there's not a Democrat or a Republican. Well, maybe there might be one who says we don't need tax increases, but you'll never be able to address the bill backlog and, you know, get the ship's fiscal house in order without some sort of a revenue enhancement.
So should that be permanent or temporary?
You otherwise is not being. Well, again, if you go temporary, then what happens is you get into the same boat down the road, right? So I think it's a combination of revenue enhancements, but also tightening people's belts. No new spending. This has to be part of it, because if we continue to spend, you know, as if we had some, you know, blank check authority, we're going to continue to just do more of the same, what's happened over the years. So, like, the governor didn't create this mess, right? And I'm not going to say that he did. He didn't create the mess that he inherited. But unfortunately, he hasn't fixed it. He was supposed to right the ship, and instead it's just sinking. And so we have to address the core issues of what happened when this tax increase went away. And, you know, you want to talk about property taxes. The governor's on this big, you know, campaign for property tax relief. Mm-hmm. Let me just say that if I were able to pay the municipalities on time for all the money that they're owed, if they didn't have to worry about how they're going to fill a pothole or keep the lights on or allow their schools to stay open because the state was carrying its fair share of the burden of education payments for our kids, if they were getting their payments on time from the state of Illinois, then those municipal mayors, they wouldn't have to go to their worst possible option, which is to ask their voters to pay more on property taxes. That's like a break glass in case of emergency, a last case resort. And if you think about the irony that the person who right now over the last 2 years has put us in the worst fiscal crisis just in 2 years, we're almost to the ninth credit downgrade since Governor Honor took office. You know, people's property taxes will have to go up because we're going to have to figure out a way for municipalities to stay afloat in the absence of the state being a deadbeat. So the one person who's out there campaigning as like, hey, I'm the champion of property tax relief is probably the person most responsible for your property taxes having to go up.
So you, do you believe, and again, at the same time. I'm just a taxpayer. I'm just a lowly taxpayer.
Sure.
So my property taxes are going to go up and my taxes are going to go up. My income tax is going to go up. And there's no real way around that without being able to right the ship. Now,
so.
if that were to happen, again,
they're not
lowly
small,
taxpayer.
They're not small increases either.
Right.
The further we go, Ro, the worse it's going to be, right? So the longer this stalemate continues, the worse it's going to take more to get out of the hole, right? It's just common sense.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, the question then is, how do we then go back to Wall Street and all the people who are, you know, going to sell the bonds for the state of Illinois, and then to people that we would like to entice to come to Illinois, whether they're corporations or individuals or whatever it is, so that we increase our tax base, so that people, you know, have, you know, obviously we have to have all of that. We can't just have government for the sake of government. We have to have business and people and lives and parks and all those sorts of things. How do we then say to them that you're not going to get taxed to death in Illinois when the weather's not that great and there's a crime problem in Chicago?
What do you mean that the weather's not that great?
We love the cold in the winter.
That was a wonderful.
Why do you bring the weather in?
That's why you're.
Susanna's a Chicago girl.
Oh my gosh, she's so good though too. She knew exactly what to seize on. Yeah, but I mean that's a problem, right? I mean that's a real thing.
Look, here's the number one issue that people are concerned about. It's not even taxes, Ro and Anna. It is the instability and unpredictability of our state's finances. Period. People want to even know what their tax rate's going to be. That's what they want to know. They have no idea. For the last 2 years, they haven't known. Businesses who are looking at Illinois as a possible place to either keep their business or grow their business, they want to be able to know that they can make their payroll, that they're in a stable economic climate. So the fact that there's very little predictability, there's zero predictability, actually, and stability in our current financial structure is the number one detriment to what's happening in the state of Illinois and anyone wanting to either stay or come here. So it's not term limits, it's not redistricting, it's none of those things to the business community. It's truly really the lack of predictability and stability, and that's for businesses, it's for institutions of higher education. We lost 16,000 kids who were college-bound students last year to other states. Over 1,500 jobs, higher ed jobs, have gone out the window, right? So this is not creating jobs, it's killing jobs in Illinois, and it's killing our institutions of higher learning, and that should be something that the entire business community should be up in arms about. I mean, it's scary.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Whole thing. Susanna, whole thing. That doesn't just stop with the taxes are going to go up. It's the whole damn thing. And if I could do something about the weather, I would, but I can't.
That you can't change.
And we can't seem to be doing anything about the crime. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. All right, we have got to run. Thank you for standing here and taking the fire. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Anytime. Right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Susanna Mendoza, the controller of the state of Illinois. Right now, Violetta Podomatic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
Southbound tollway still struggling. 40 minutes on the tri-state from the Jane Addams to the Stevenson. No delays northbound. Southbound 355 also heavy at 30 minutes from the Eisenhower to the Reagan toll. Also no delays northbound there. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Violetta Podromedic in WGN Traffic Central.
The city that works is working with robots. It's Tech Week in Chicago. We'll talk about the latest in technology, gadgets, and gizmos at 5:08.
Steve Grzanich has your first look at the business day ahead. The opening bell tomorrow morning at 5 on 720 WGN.
Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today. 1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids.
also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Hi, my name's Tim Forehand. I'm a deputy sheriff, and my job keeping me in shape is important. I've tried other products to get my weight down, but nothing has worked like Andre 400. In just 3 months, I've dropped 51 pounds, down from 230 to 179. Plus, the weight's come off in the stomach area. I've gone from a snug 36-inch waist to a 32-inch waist, which I was in high school. I highly recommend the Andre 400 to all my friends.
Guys, are you frustrated because no matter how hard you try, it seems impossible to lose stubborn belly fat? Then discover why thousands of men each month rely on Andro 400. Lose belly fat, gain energy and confidence, and feel great about yourself. Andro 400, the safe, effective, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435.
Staples knows that when your printer jams more than it prints, it's time. When your paper supply is in desperate need of resupply, it's time. When the only printer in your office that's not out of ink is three flights up, it's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has great prices on everything you need to print. And now, buy one ream of Staples 8.5 by 11 multipurpose paper and get one free. A savings of $7.99. Staples, it's pro time. N624 in store only.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today.
All right. Oh, my God. We found some audio that is, just rather hard to believe. You know our old friend Stephen A. Smith.
Of course.
And as I like to say that Stephen A. and I have killed more television pilots.
Or was you auditioned actually together.
Yes, for a few of them. And we've killed more pilots than a flock of birds. And I would just like to say that we have audio from one of those failed television ventures.
Oh, gosh.
Now he's a gigantic star at ESPN.
He is.
Just, you know, talent.
He's a big personality.
Talent wins out at some point, and he was going to, you know, Stephen A. was going to, you know, find the right project for him. And he did. But I am I'm shocked, quite honestly, that this one didn't take off when we play the audio.
Is it hard to listen to it later? Sometimes that's the case. At the time, you think it's either great or maybe you think it's not so great. But then later you listen to it and you have a totally different take on it.
The name of the show is Mingle City.
Mingle City. Was it Mingle? A dating show?
Kind of. It's a relationship show.
You guys?
I was not on this. This was not. Was not on this pilot. No.
This was not yours.
No.
Okay.
Although.
That would be fun.
That would really have been something. But no, this is just Stephen A.
Just him.
Yeah.
Mingle.
Yeah. It's quite a thing. It's quite a moment. We'll play that audio for you on the other side. And you know what? I don't want to oversell this. But it's Stephen A. like you've never heard him before.
Was he shouting? Was this Pope?
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of sound. It sounds, you know, it is Stephen A. And he has the same inflection and all of that. But the topic is totally different.
Mm-hmm. So how do you shout about relationships?
It's really not just about relationships. Really, this part is specifically about sex.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've told you enough for now.
Okay.
Judy Pilak has the news coming your way in 2 minutes. Coming up tomorrow, by the way, on the program, we got tickets for FanFest, for the NHL FanFest, for the draft.
It's going to be fun.
We're going to be there on Friday.
Yep.
Kevin and you and me and...
And me. We haven't confirmed that yet.
Yeah, we haven't been able to confirm. I don't think we have room in the truck for you.
What
in the
truck?
Tahoe.
Yeah, of course there's room.
I don't think there is.
It's very spacious.
It seats 50. I don't think we have room for you.
Violetta can fit.
All right. You can ride on the top. The but It's, now you have to be on your best behavior if you come out with us.
I will. When am I not on my best behavior? Mm. Name one time. Okay, never mind. I'll be on my best behavior.
Okay. All right. Because this is the Blackhawks. This is, you know, these are our partners.
This is serious.
This is like we're having mommy and daddy's boss over for dinner. Don't act up.
Should we get one of those children leashes?
For her.
I want the monkey backpack.
Just like attach it to our table.
Right, the monkey backpack with the leash attached to it.
Juice boxes and special kitty meals provided. So
we can just reel her in if she starts to do something bad.
Hey, give me some more slack. I got an interview over here.
Those are great, though, for little toddlers. I know some people think that they don't belong on kids, but...
Yeah, that's for sure.
What happened to holding your kid's hand?
Yeah, whatever happened to holding... Right, Violetta, whatever happened to holding your kid's hands? Right.
Or give them
you know what's the problem with that? The
listen.
Kid's hands are too sticky. That's the issue. That was always my problem.
Kids these days and their sticky hands.
Yeah.
Well, they don't know.
Always had it, though. That was, you know, that's an age-old problem, sticky hands. That's an age-old problem.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since peanut butter was invented.
Yes. Crunchy or creamy? I'm a crunchy guy.
And jelly. I guess it wasn't really so much the peanut butter as it was the jelly.
Jelly gets everywhere, even as an
cotton
adult.
Cotton candy at a carnival? Mother of God.
Yeah. The worst.
It's on their forehead and their hair and their ears.
The worst is when it gets in the car seat, because then it all sort of blends together. And you're just like, oh, what is that? You know, like a week later, 2 weeks later, the stuff that's in the car seat or under the car seat. You ever looked under a car
seat?
I
want to open up a business that just where you bring the car seat
yes,
in.
Yes, perfect.
And you can diagnose any kind of problem the kid might have, too, if you bring the car seat in.
Just say, here, take care of this.
I believe that your child is lactose intolerant? All right. This is not why we called.
No.
We have audio here.
Wait. This is going to be great.
This is for the faint of heart. So if you have a young or more sensitive listeners
in the car with you.
You might want to pull over and just let them out on the side of the road while we do this segment.
But just make sure their leash is on. And
whatever. They'll figure it out. The great Stephen A. Smith, friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen A. has been spending a lot of time in the last number of decades trying to find the exact right project for himself.
And I think he has now.
Now on ESPN, he certainly is. He's a big star on ESPN.
Major personality.
Yes. And he's great at what he does. He always has been great at what he does. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think part of the problem was he went to try out things that, you know, maybe he shouldn't have. You know, his talent was too big for for some projects.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow... And I guess Michael Bazden is to blame for this, right? Because he found this audio and he put it up. Does Bazden have a problem with Stephen A. Smith? Are they...
feuding for some reason? I hadn't heard that. It just says for some reason these videos were uploaded to YouTube all of a sudden.
Yes.
So largely unseen until this point.
Yeah. And 2002? Is that what we said? 2008. This is 2000. Oh, that would have been right around the time.
Right around the time.
I'm sure that was... I think we killed a pilot in 2008 then, too. Yeah, Stephen A. Me and Stephen A. We're like a flock of geese.
Did you kill it or like crush it? Kill it or did you?
No,
kill the pilot.
Yeah,
that's it.
That'd have been about this time. Thank God I didn't get the call back on this one. This is a little thing called Mingle City.
Sex, and I want the ladies to hear this loud and clear. Sex is the most important thing in a relationship until it's good. Then it doesn't matter. Before you can establish that you have a vibrant, healthy, great sexual relationship with that man, it gets in the way of everything. When you have good sex, when a man is handling his business and doing what he's supposed to do, don't you notice that suddenly her tolerance level is just a little bit more? You know, the arguments, et cetera, et cetera. And it's the same thing, and it's the same thing for guys. I'm going to tell you a story real quick because I want other guys to get an opportunity, especially this man right here. I want to hear what he had to say to hand this girl earlier. But I'm just telling you, I had a girl, and you know, I'm a bootlegged hitman to the core.
Oh,
you don't
God.
Have that.
Thanks
it's insulting that you've even approached me, okay? I had a girlfriend that obviously was stacked, Kardashian, J-Lo, Beyonce type stacked. You know what I'm saying? And we were getting into an argument a few years ago, and she was living in Chicago, and it was Thanksgiving. I was about to send her behind back. She ticked me off that much. But she had on a lingerie. And I was in, I was on the other side of the room. And then she got up, and you know, she was getting on, talking and running her mouth and all this stuff. Then she turned and she walked away. Her body was in the bedroom, but the booty was sticking outside of it. Stay with me. When I saw that, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I walked up to her and I said, it's really not that important what we were arguing about. It's not that important. Because I knew that by that night, because we were going to go out to the family and all this stuff, I knew by the end of that night I wanted that. See, we were smart enough and wise enough. The difference between us and women is that she might have kept arguing until 10 o'clock that night. I knew that morning, all right, I got to work this out now and work, use all of these hours to my advantage if I want to get my hands on that tonight. Now, that's the difference.
Oh, my gosh. I wonder if he's embarrassed by that.
I feel like I learned a lot from Steven.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly shared.
By the way,
put it out there.
Double extra large, bootylicious. Booty, legs, and breasts.
Imagine him. That's a chicken. That's a chicken drive-thru now.
Yeah, okay. Now he's at KFC.
I think he was into the thighs, he said.
Do they have booty at KFC?
Thighs, legs, and booty, KFC. That's an off-menu
item. Booty is?
Yeah.
I knew you knew that, Kev.
Yeah.
Basically, all I heard him say
is, get me the booty. I want the booty. Where is my – I ordered booty, and there's no booty in it.
It's a fast food menu hack.
I see legs. I see thighs. I do not see booty. I do see breasts.
Popeyes also has a booty off menu.
Oh, good to know, Stephen. Yeah, would love that drive.
There's a button for that on the register, as they like to say at McDonald's. Oh, we got a button for that.
I can't find it. Where's the booty?
So this was a pilot for a show, and would he do a rant like this each show, or like?
No, he was like sitting there, like in a like in a panel, and that was what he was. Okay. That was what he was discussing.
And there's like wine on the set.
Oh, I just envisioned him like sitting by a fireplace talking to the camera. Like, yeah.
Imagine it any way you want.
In like a sweater vest, kind of telling the kids what's what. Hey y'all, here's how it goes. No, it was like a panel.
Now, if you're gonna get your booty, you're gonna get it in Chicago.
I don't know why he's always in a drive-thru.
If you order it with gravy, it's a whole new thing. That's a special, special, seasonal-only off-menu item.
I'll tell you what I like with booty, berry sauce. You ever had berry sauce with booty?
Berry sauce?
I don't know what you're saying.
Like cranberry sauce?
Is that cranberry sauce?
I don't know.
That's cranberry sauce! Cranberry sauce and booty go together!
What?
It's good to know.
Could you imagine disagreeing with him on that show?
I don't want, yeah.
Or on any
show. Well, I want to know who the girl from Chicago is now.
Yeah, right.
Right? And I like, and this is, and I got to say, I'd like to be embarrassed by this as a man, but I can't be because I understand exactly what he was saying.
Yeah.
It was
I
like,
think to women, you hear just a little bit of total objectifying, right? Okay, but you know that people have these conversations.
This is what guys think. The guys are like, baby, we're in a fight. I don't want to be in a fight no more. Because all of a sudden, see, and she knew what she was doing. She was in a fight. We're now going to discuss the merits of this conversation. They were in a fight, and she came out in her lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when she came out in her lingerie after the fight, what was she saying?
She was just getting dressed.
In her lingerie.
Yeah, sometimes.
Bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
But all I heard in that his argument was, basically, when girls are mad at something, it must be because the guy's not good at something else.
I think what he's arguing is that
tension in the bedroom
creates tension in the kitchen.
Right.
In the living room.
Right, everywhere else.
And the car. Yeah. On the phone.
You know what they say about cranberry sauce and booty?
I've never heard that before.
That's an age-old saying amongst men.
Kevin brings that up a lot.
I don't know what it means, but it's just lunch dates. Let me tell you about booty and cranberry sauce.
Ma, do we have cranberry sauce?
Waiter, extra cranberry sauce, please. ASAP, let's go.
She'll have a cranberry martini.
Do we have the, I want that booty part. Do we have the booty part? Because that is just, because I like how he has to define exactly what he is.
Well, I mean, you can't leave it an open question.
Was there someone interviewing him, or just sort of ranting?
Do you think anybody can interview Stephen A. Smith?
No, I would say he'd just go off.
Yeah.
Even on the panels he's on, he does just go off.
It is one of the reasons that these pilots, that didn't really work out.
And now, did you put the music behind that, or
yeah,
was
we
that
did. So,
okay?
No, we
to
did.
To be fair, yes.
Yes, to be fair,
that's
that
way
we did.
Better with the music. That,
yeah, we wanted to really sell that.
Mm-hmm. You don't even have to ask him questions if you interview him. You just use trigger words like Colin Kaepernick or
right. Uh-huh. Exactly. That's exactly true. That's
or
exactly true.
Cranberry sauce.
Jay Cutler.
Right.
Cutler.
Who said Cutler? Who in the room just said Cutler?
All right. Hold on. Let's go back to this.
I had a girl, and you know, I'm a booty legging hitman to the core. You don't have that. It's insulting that you've even approached me. Okay.
All right. Extra booty, extra leg, extra hip. Cranberry sauce on the side.
Oh gosh, how did this get there? What's going on?
How does any of this get there?
I don't know.
Otherwise,
don't
even walk up to him.
Right.
You can hold the breast. I will take the booty, the leg, and the hip.
The jar of cranberry sauce.
I want dark booty.
He's got an endorsement written all over it with Popeyes.
Yes, he does.
See?
Yes, he
does. Stephen A. special?
Just when you thought this wasn't going well for Stephen A. Smith, he's going to cash in. That tells you when a guy's on a roll. Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
Right. Can I give us some cranberry sauce right now? Maybe some chicken?
Yeah.
I think I know what I'm getting for dinner.
Yep.
That makes Kevin hungry somehow. Somehow
we're hungry. Yeah, that's how it goes. All right. We will get to the Justin Kaufman part of this exchange. He's here today?
Mm-hmm.
Is he here today?
I think he is.
Justin here with the group today?
Some.
All right. We're going to talk to him coming up
yes.
on the program. But first, Violetta Pademetica is the last traffic report of the afternoon.
I had a girl, and you know, I'm a booty legging hitman to the core. You don't have that. It's insulting that you've even approached me, okay?
I do like that. The women are insulting him by approaching him if they don't have the proper booty leg hip situation going on.
Yeah. I can think of some people who might be insulted by that comment.
And bring your own cranberry sauce.
Do you like it out of the can? Like the one that's like comes out as a tube or like a homemade cranberry sauce?
Nah, where's the cranberry sauce in a can? It comes out like a tube. It's got the same like top and bottom of the can marks on it.
I love that one. You can slice it thin, put it on a sandwich.
Oh my God.
Using Steven's moves at home.
No reason to get fancy. Just get the canned stuff.
Yeah.
It's faster.
Can you make a pit stop at Jewel? I got to get a couple cans of cranberry sauce.
Oh, God.
Just put it on your mom's grocery list.
What, Kevin, why is there a dozen cans of cranberry sauce? What do you need this
preparing
for
Thanksgiving.
Not even, yeah, it's not even Thanksgiving.
I'm going to Stephen A. Smith her tonight.
Oh. What?
Too far.
Okay, Kevin, you have fun. All right. Oh, my God. I don't even know what to say. All right. Here he is, Justin Kaufman.
Right.
Here with the group today.
Hey, Justin.
How was the weekend? You guys have a good weekend?
All good.
It's always a tough thing for me in the nighttime slot on Monday to be like, how was the weekend? It's like already been...
It's already been discussed many times throughout the day by now.
Yeah,
but sort of late.
I mean, we're already Monday's over,
and I'm halfway through my week. The way I look at it right now,
that's actually positive.
So maybe I'll restart with it. How was your Monday?
It's fine.
It's been better.
It's okay.
I'm good.
All right. Good.
I'm good.
Real quick, can the kids get back in the car?
Yeah, the kids can get back in the car now that we're done having the conversation. Thank you, Violetta, for reminding me to allow the listeners to put the kids back in the car. We just discussed Stephen A. Smith's sex life. So,
Justin, do you prefer the cranberry sauce canned, like the old school kind, or like a homemade cranberry sauce?
Well, homemade seems to be all the rage, but I'd go with canned.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I like that canned, like the Jell-O, the gelatin.
It's really gelatinous kind of thing.
Yeah, like
so
gelatinous.
Good.
Yeah, I love
gelatinous.
That. Yeah, I love that.
Justin, you don't know in what context they're talking about cranberry sauce, but...
No, I don't. No. I missed
don't
it.
Don't step into this.
But I don't
I'll
mind.
Just give
I
you
yes
some
and.
Advice.
I yes and. I go right into it. So if I'm making a mistake by
that's
waiting.
A partner right there. I just want to tell people that's a man. That's a man who's willing to, you know, he's riding, he's dying. He has no idea
no,
what he's
know,
driving into.
I know
into.
I'm being set up for something. Hey, Justin, do you like
this is like training day
right now? Sure. I love it, man. Sure. Training day.
Oh, bad things happen if you step into this conversation.
Oh, God.
All right.
Just really not good.
I hope. Okay. I don't know if we're going to put that up for podcast because I'm just afraid that it's going to...
offend everyone?
Well, yeah.
I thought I saw you in a kilt, Justin.
Yeah, I was in a kilt. The Scottish Festival in Highland Games this weekend. We went up there, Patty and I, and some of the WGN staff.
Did you throw a log?
We did. They wouldn't let us.
Toss a log?
I'm glad that we didn't, because I probably would have hit myself in the face. Just the way that that's a difficult thing. Have you ever tried to do that?
Toss a log?
Yeah. Once again. Walking right into it.
So there was only the trained professionals who got to do that.
Yeah, and we also threw a stone. You know, just classic stuff. Real classic.
I've got to tell you something. This is the thing, I love this. I'm actually a quarter Scottish.
Oh.
Yeah, so I have to be, I think, particularly sensitive to this issue. Because it's
the issue of Highland Games,
right? And I want to be—I've never worn a kilt, but I would like to, you know, I would like to be, you know, just to say, you know, I get it, and that's okay, you know, it's like I'm with you, my sort of fellow Scots.
Well, the thing is,
but it's a stupid thing to go back and throw, like, to go back to 1066 for an Olympic kind of games is kind of stupid.
Well, I mean, it was fun to see, you know. People throw logs.
Toss your log.
I guess it goes that you're not supposed to wear anything underneath the kilt.
Yes,
I've been told that a lot. Even
true
though I wore my shorts because it was professional. I didn't know if it would be that would be kind of presumptuous moving around necessarily.
Windy
too. Yeah, windy. And I didn't want to be presumptuous. Like, okay, I'm going to go authentic when everyone's like, we didn't ask you to.
WGN Chicago.
So, but
it's cool
yeah,
you wore the kilt.
But the guy who was running it, Gus, he had a couple jokes.
Scottish guy named Gus?
Yeah. He said someone would ask him, you know, what do you got underneath the kilt? He's like, oh, the earth. Oh, okay, what's underneath the kilt? My socks, my shoes. And then I forgot, he's got like a third one that's like, what, you know, whatever you want it to. Like some goofy way that
classic
it becomes a poetry at the end of it. I forgot what the end was.
That's what Scots are known for. That and Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two things are not for. Oh, and trying to get out of the now stay in the EU, but get away from England.
Yeah, that's
whatever it is.
And grass fertilizer
and scotch. I mean, that's the most important thing they're known for.
Oh, how could you forget that?
Yeah. I spent a couple summers in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh's a beautiful city.
Beautiful,
amazing
it
city.
Is gorgeous. Did you go to the festival?
Yeah, we were in the festival, and my favorite part was the fish and chip shop, which is great. Which is just they just wrap the fish and fries in
newspaper
and they're like, here you go.
Yeah, that is like, very cool.
This is great.
I wonder what's going to happen when they get rid of the newspaper.
No more fish and chips.
I'm concerned about that. No,
nobody's brought up that argument.
Yes, but it's very cool though. They do
put it on your iPad.
Yeah,
like a Henry
alcohol. But you know, isn't it amazing? Like Edinburgh, you go into Edinburgh and you go into anywhere a pub or a fish and chips spot, and you go, I'd like to order something, and they go. And I'm like, I thought they spoke English.
I know it is hard to understand.
And it's not. And it is. It's English, but it is no. It doesn't sound anything like a language.
Yeah.
You need an interpreter.
Yeah.
But you do.
Did that happen for you?
I figured it out. Although, before we ate the haggis, which was an experience.
Yeah, that's a little too much for me.
I ate the haggis.
And
like I said, yes and. You got to go in there. If they're setting up a shot to say, you're going to eat the haggis, you eat it. Otherwise, what? No, I don't think so. Like,
You know what? I have gout. And I believe that's intestine.
I'm vegan. I'm not supposed to.
It's not supposed to do that.
So, I ate it. But before we did, Gus recited a Robert Burns poem, which was in the Scottish Brogue and the whole...
Very nice.
On the website, WGNradio.com.
All right.
So there you go.
We'll check that out.
All right. Have
a long
night.
Way to get to that plug.
He got there, though. Good job, Justin.
All right. There we go.